Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat there, jump over there to the superchat.html so you'll have access to not one, but three separate chat rooms. Get to talk to a lot of different people that way. And so with that said, Stephen Gibbons in the chat room is building a really nice resource, a page for links to different YouTube researchers and websites and stuff. And from what I see right here, he's done a really fine job of it so far. Thank you very much for that, Stephen. And that'll be a benefit to a lot of people. So, anyway, where was I going here? Oh, yeah, unbelievable news, ? So, apparently there's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world, and there's like big buzz going all over the internet about this whole Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas shooting deal. Some are calling it a hoax, and some are calling it a false flag, and some are calling it real, and some people know somebody who knew a friend that of a cousin or his brother and aunt or an uncle or somebody who was actually there and got shot or died or whatever, and so there's like something really really strange going on with this whole episode, because not only people supposedly know somebody who was there that got shot or whatever, but there's other things surfacing in there, like you know, videos of extra windows that were broke out, and stories of more than one shooter, and even actually stories of shooters on the ground in the actual event itself. And so, you know, it's it's really hard to discern between all the information that you get out here, whether it be from the mainstream media or the alternative media, because of all the track record of everything that's been done and said, and, you know, lies being told, or, you know, green screen technology, or one of the examples that I remember most is that there were supposedly these two reporters that were standing out in, this wasn't the same event, this was about a year or so back. There was these two reporters that were supposedly on different sides of the town, and they were reporting on shootings that was going on. And so while they're sitting there reporting and they're talking back and forth to each other, you know, via live stream or whatever, the vehicle drives in the back of the video on one, a bus and a Jeep. They drive through the back, I think it was a bus and a Jeep, anyway. Anyway, these two vehicles drive behind this one reporter who's supposedly across town. Well, then couple seconds later, the other video out there, the other lady who was in a different area, supposedly across town, the same two vehicles passed in the background of her video as well. And so it turns out these two particular individuals weren't very far away. They were actually standing in the same parking lot and filming what was supposedly a live deal from across the you know, the city to each other. And that's just one example of many where the mainstream media was actually caught fabricating news and all that. Of course, you know, you got this thing going around about fake news and such, you know. Even the President of the United States been calling the mainstream media fake news and stuff because of a lot of the propaganda that they spread about him and his administration or whatever. But nonetheless, stepping back and looking at the big picture, it's really hard to get a grip on what in this world is real and what isn't. It's hard to discern between the good information and the bad information. Now, the way the new technology works, we actually have the capability of really seriously scrutinizing video as opposed to what back in the old days when the news was out there, you know, be easier to deceive people with a newspaper because there's really not a lot, but you know, you could throw some pictures in there if you print them out, and you know, maybe somebody really good with a magnifying glass or something like that can go over the picture and find things that aren't right in the picture. But then when the TV came along and you had the old analog TV, it was probably a little bit harder back then to fake stuff. But nonetheless, they were still able to do so, you know, because when you're looking at it on TV, you know, if you saw it on TV, it must be true, right? Well, nowadays, modern day TV with blue screen and green screen technology and the capabilities of actually editing video on the fly and being able to pre-record things and then send them out as if they're live and all that kind of stuff, it's really hard to sit there and try to pick through all the evidence or the supposed evidence that's being presented to the people out there in this world. So you have to ask yourself, what the heck is the purpose? Who stands to gain from all these shenanigans? You know, if nobody died in this Las Vegas shooting, and the full agenda was just to see people's reaction and to maybe throw in some extra gun legislation and stuff like that, what's the point? Because every single time any incident like this happens or any word of gun control comes down, the gun sales go through the roof. And so there's a lot of video out there that, you know, has a lot of questions that are involved with this particular deal. And even I have a lot of questions about the deal. You know, if you've got, let's say this really was an episode. And I'm not saying it ain't, because really I wasn't there whenever it happened, but how could I know? Because all I've got is the evidence out there, and then I've also got the other videos that are the counter evidence to the evidence out there. But there are some questions that really should have been answered through this entire deal, such as one of the most simple and basic thing is that every motel out there has smoke detectors. And I don't know if anybody's ever even touched on this, but if you're sitting in a room and you're firing off hundreds, if not thousands, of rounds of ammunition, that's going to put a lot of smoke in that room. And so at the very least, I would have thought the fire alarms would have been going off and would have got the motel's attention a lot sooner than later because of that particular incident alone. Not to mention all the racket going on in somebody's room. If you sound like you got automatic gunfire in the room next door to you, and there was actually supposedly one individual who was asleep in his room, didn't even hear the noise going on until the SWAT team kicked his door and told him to get out. Oh, I know it's not funny, folks, but I just don't get it, man. There's so many different questions that need to be answered. And where are you going to get the answers from? Who are you going to be able to trust as far as the real truth of that? If you ain't got somebody actually on the ground who's trustworthy, who witnessed the entire deal and can present evidence that, you know, this was either real or not real, then you're at the mercy of the information coming to you. And so, is the news unbelievable? Well, for me, yeah. For me, the news is unbelievable. It's unbelievable because of anomalies that just keep on seeming to show up. And it's kind of like that story about the boy who cried wolf. You know, if you keep on hollering wolf, wolf, and eventually nobody shows up because it's just a joke whenever they got there the many times prior to whenever you were crying wolf, and So they come to your rescue, and there you are, man, laughing again. So next time around, when the wolf's really there, the people don't show up. So if this is a real incident, and if any of the other prior ones were real incidents, which there's a whole lot of questions to be answered in a whole lot of different deals, maybe for some reason they just hadn't told the entire story of everything. Maybe there was a reason why they had to redact certain pictures or information or whatever. But nonetheless, there's something going on out there in the social media networks that is kind of worrisome. Is that if this was a real incident, you've got people out there who don't believe it was, and so they're calling it a hoax. And if it was a real incident, then you can see where that would be a problem. And if it wasn't a real incident, and you've got people out there actually believing that they knew somebody who knew somebody that died, then that would pose a problem as well. Because their reality blurring between fact and fiction, where now they just want to be part of the crowd and be able to say, hey, you know, you're not a nice person because I know somebody who knew somebody who was actually there on site and they died. You know, I'm going to their funeral or something. It's like an epic mind screw of biblical proportions to try to listen to all this information and figure out what's fact and what's fiction in the deal. There's so much money to be made in gun legislation and all the different things out there. You always have to ask, who stands to gain from anything that goes on out there? And the questions of how one man would have got so many doggone weapons that were modified into, fully automatic basically machine guns. They called it a bump stock, where basically you hold your finger on the trigger and the recoil actually causes it to fire again and again and again multiple rounds. And there's also other questions out there, if this particular individual either he was shooting multiple guns, like he'd fire one and then pick up another and fire it, then that might sound kind of plausible. But if he was firing the same gun thousands of rounds, there's a video out there where a man literally set fire to an AK-47 by firing 600 rounds to it. Got so incredibly hot that it just basically caught the stock on fire, and then it actually had a deal where once the barrel gets a certain temperature, that the bullets will ignite themselves because of the temperature. So it's questionable, all the different things out there. Some things have to be answered, but it's hard to get answers anymore. This internet is I can't even find the words for it. It could be your worst enemy or your best friend, one of the two. It's like the deepest rabbit hole in the Matrix. And so you get out there, you try to, research things and find information about things, and you gotta sort through the hoaxes and the facts and the fiction. And then there's people that know how to use the internet to do some really serious research on people's backgrounds and such. And you'd think that if the average Joe out there could research like that, that so could the well-funded mainstream media. It's hard to imagine that just the average Joe has access to better information than a well-funded media crew out there who... there used to be a time when they were like real reporters, where they'd go out there and investigate things, and nowadays it's like you change the channel and everybody's saying the exact same thing from a script. So they say that's how the government propaganda works. And they also say that there are CIA individuals who put stories out to the media, and there's actually CIA individuals who actually work inside the mainstream media. So we got this alphabet soup out there. It's called the Central Intelligence Agency, that is actually guiding the news around, and basically to further an agenda. I was always under the impression that the government was supposed to be working there for you. You know, I was under the impression that they were there to, be your representation. It don't seem like that, and it hasn't seemed like that for quite some time. It seems like that, you know the popular view is that nobody wants their guns to be taken away from them. They want to be able to maintain their Second Amendment. And so, when you hear them on there saying that the majority of the American people think that common sense gun control laws should be in play, well, from what I understand, there's a lot of things on the books that are already illegal. And so I don't want to turn this into like a gun control deal, but there's questions that need to be asked. And some people think that if you do all these events and scare the heck out of people, that they'll rush out and buy guns, and that the truth of the matter is they don't want gun control. They want us to be extremely armed because supposedly the United States is so far in debt that they want to make sure that people are think twice before they come over here to try to attack us to collect on that debt. Because all of them's armed, and I can't remember it was either a Chinese or a Japanese general or something like that said at one point that the reason why they don't attack the United States is because it behind every blade of grass would be a gun. And so it's really, I guess it's really up to you, the listener out there, to try to figure out what's going on. You know, on these social media networks, you could try an experiment. You could literally tell a story to one person and follow that story when it gets told to another person and so on down the line. And by the time it gets to the person at the end, the story, like, isn't the story anymore. Something added, something took away or whatever. And so if you're out there on Facebook and you're talking about this shooting in Las Vegas and somebody's saying they knew a friend who has a friend who had a brother who kicked the dog that used to live down the street who bit the mailman who had somebody who was there that got shot, well, you know, I guess that's evidence. But until it's actually, you know, presented on the table, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to tell anybody that that wasn't a real deal, because I have no idea. I'm nowhere near Las Vegas. I'm just trying to point out that when I'm sitting here and I'm looking for information on it, because, yeah, that's a terrible thing that somebody would even shoot one person, let alone that many. But when you see the evidence presented to you from the mainstream media or even alternative media, and there are things in there that are really questionable, then, you know, according to the society's taboo laws or whatever, you're just not supposed to question it because somebody really got hurt. And I'm looking at something and I'm saying, wait a second. If this guy's firing all these doggone weapons in the motel room or hotel room, whatever, I would have thought the smoke detectors would have been the first thing to go off, and I would have thought that in a highly secured casino that the security be all up on that, because they got millions of dollars, if not billions, invested in that building and the people there that are there to spend their money. So did the fire alarms go off? Is that what first got them? And then the second question would be, you know, with all the security cameras involved in there, they didn't ever notice this man putting security cameras outside his door to see who's coming and going? If you've ever been to a casino, you can't do anything in that casino without somebody seeing it, because they have cameras in every single direction, and if they think that you're up to no good, they'll be on you so fast it'll make your head spin. And somehow or another, this individual was able to get a lot of guns up inside there. Well, then the mainstream media shows a couple windows up there that were broke out where he was supposed to be, but then later on, pictures emerge with more windows broken out at the bottom. Stories of multiple shooters, and then stories of multiple shooters actually on the ground in the crowd. And things just, the more all this comes out, the less things seem to add up, and you have to question yourself, who stands to gain in this entire deal? You know, if it's government overreach or a gun grab or something like that, you know, I could understand a false flag episode such as that right there, or even to destabilize a nation. You know, there's guys out there like George Soros who they say is paying agitators to go into events and start fights, and, you know, it's kind of like Jerry Springer. You instigate this guy over here and you instigate that guy and you let them fight in the middle, and then you got a show for everybody. And everybody's standing out there in the crowd, Jerry, Jerry, you know. And I'm really getting concerned. I'm getting worried about the state of the world, because if people actually believe that something didn't happen when it did, or vice versa, that it did happen when it didn't, and once again, we're all subject to the same exact information from the media. From the alternative media, from sources on the ground, supposedly live leak videos of certain things. And unless you're there and you was the actual one that took the film or whatever, it's hard to know what the truth is. And that's unfortunate, because there's a lot of serious results that could come about because of this specific episode. A lot of freedoms lost. They're already talking about, and they already put in place what they like to call naked body scanners, some other technical term for it, but they have people going to a motel that actually have to go through these full body x-ray machines in order to spend the time at the motel. And I'm here to say, you know, if I got to go through a naked body scanner just to watch a movie at a theater, I'm staying home. If I got to go through that just to fly on an airplane, I just won't fly. If I got to go through it and be subjected to it to go to the grocery store, well, I guess I'll become the best farmer that you've ever seen in your life, because I'll grow it all. And that's just that, because I respect my privacy and my freedom, and I just don't think that if I got to live in fear at the football game, I'm not going to the football game. If I got to live in fear getting on an airplane or a bus, train, or whatever, I'm just not going. And so I don't know how many other people out there feel the way that I do, but, you know, if I can't trust the information being given to me, if there's a boogeyman behind every doggone bush, I'm better off just standing out here on my piece of property and just leaving the world be out there. Hi, Barbara, how's it going? Are you there?
I'm there. I was just muted.
What are you thinking about all this?
How's everybody out there today? Well, you know, I find it, there's so many pieces to this puzzle. You know, you ask one question and it leads to another question, and you ask a different question, or maybe you get an answer to that, and there's another question that pops up. And I think it's a lot of confusion, a deliberate confusion and distraction. I'm feeling all these things ever since. This is nothing new, these distractions. Distract the public so that other things can happen in the world and in our country. You know, policies since Trump has been in, there's been so many distractions. There's a list, a ton of things, stupid stuff that we've been distracted by, that people are just, you know, fuming about and carrying on about, while he's putting through so many new policies, taking down many things that are really significant and important rights, you know, bills and so on that were put in place. I mean, just the one about the environment alone, you know, I didn't know this. I was just looking for stuff about distractions, and I just came up with this one. The Environmental Protection Agency will be terminated December 2018.
Really?
2018. I mean, Trump just signed that with a little stroke of a pen, you know? And there have been 2,000 bills, new policies put in by Trump that are more damaging, you know, to our health and well-being, environmental health and well-being, and our rights and so on. So there's that piece. And yeah, then there's, is this about, let's just make everybody freak out so much. And every time there's a mass shooting, everybody gets on the bandwagon, ban guns, ban guns, ban guns. Nobody's talking about the real issue, and I think it's the antidepressants and the psychiatric drugs, because I just popped up this link here, and I read this a while back, that for the last 20 years, every mass shooting that has taken place, not only here in our country, but other countries, all those people have been on psychiatric drugs, antidepressants, and that's a fact. That's been noted.
Yeah, I remember that too, because a lot of the supposed school shootings that went on, they always came back to Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox, and stuff like that.
Exactly. So what is that about? I mean, you know, you have to look into it. So it's not the guns, it's the people that take the guns and get it into their mind that they just want to kill people or harm people. I mean, we certainly know ISIS is another story, another issue. Those, you know, what's going on there? Of course, that's about religion, you know, and with the infidels and so on. And it's about, you know, on that level. But nobody's talking about this. It's about just take the guns away from everyone, so mass shootings don't occur, and we'll be all right. But no, people are still on the psychiatric drugs and antidepressants. That's an epidemic, monster epidemic. And there are also various events where people, if they want to kill people, they'll get a hatchet, they'll get a knife, they'll run over people with a car.
Yeah.
You know, what do? We take everything away from people that is, you know...
Wrap everybody in bubble wrap.
Well, I think that's Agenda 21.
Well...
is this what this is leading to, the complete control... where we have no rights, where we don't even have a right to carry a gun. You know, I mean, a gun for hunting, I think, is crucial. A gun for self-protection, you know, in certain circumstances, is very important. There is a history where there are countries where they took all the guns away from the people, and then they just basically murdered half the people,
yeah.
Starved them or whatever. I mean, this is... So you don't have any way to protect yourself. I don't think people need AK-47s. I don't think they need these guns, you know, like that bump stock that one guy, veteran, created a bump stock because
he and his
friends were hunting. But listen to this. So he and his friends were hunting or target practicing, and they were frustrated because they couldn't shoot fast enough. Okay?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't shoot fast enough, he come up with this idea for this bump stock, okay, that changes a regular... gun. I'm not too technologically up on what this does, but it changes that rifle to be, you know, like a machine gun.
Well,
and that's what
it takes the recoil off of the gun itself. When as long all you have to do is hold down on the trigger, you know how guns buck and recoil. Well, that causes it to fire again. So you're actually using the recoil of the gun when it bounces off your shoulder to basically pull the trigger again. All you got to do is hold down on the trigger with that design.
Okay, so that's what this veteran decided, that he wanted, you know, his guns to shoot faster. He was impatient, so he didn't like that. So he created this, and that's what, you know, that's what the lobbyists or that's what the Congress are saying. Well, they'll think about eliminating that. But that's not the issue, you know, I feel, really. It's the psychiatric drugs. It's the state of people's minds. that nobody's paying attention to. And if people want to kill someone, they will find a way. Yes, the guns are available. And like I said, I don't think it should be easy to get a gun. In this country, I guess it is. Like, he went to some gun shows and bought all these guns.
Yeah, and the guy sold them. If you got money, you can get them.
Huh?
I said, if you got the money, you can get them.
And the guys who sold him these guns said he seemed like a normal guy. Hello?
Well, as far as having somebody, private individuals having AK-47s, there's a concept out there. I guess the terminology is force multiplier, basically, something to that extent, where you have to be as well-armed as the government in order to be able to be able to defend yourself. It'd be the equivalence of muskets against machine guns today. You see what I'm
That's
saying?
That's true. Well, there's. I have to say, I no matter how many AK-47s you have, you will not have the airplanes. You will not have the tanks. You will not have the mass soldiers. You know.
Yeah.
You just won't. You know. I'm sorry to say.
Well, that's the truth.
And sad to say that we have to be thinking of this. You know, that we have to even think or take this into the equation in this country, you know.
But this thing goes so much deeper than just gun control and even psychiatric drugs. There was a video documentary that I seen out there one time that really disturbed the heck out of me. And it had to do with schools and children. Basically, there was a crew that went through and they took videos of prison, and then they took a video of schools. And what they did was they asked the different groups of people which one of these is a prison and which one of them is a school. And you would be surprised at how many people out there said that the one that was the school wasn't actually a prison. Because of all the, you know, metal detectors and the cameras down the hall and the way that the buildings were designed and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, now you can't just go up there and pick your kid up at the school because of all the different incidents that have occurred or whatever. You got to be buzzed in, you got to sign in, you got to do all these different things, and, you know, you're going to walk past cameras when you do all this so that they can ensure that you're who you're supposed to be so you ain't snatching somebody's kid or something like that. Which,
yeah,
to some extent, you could say, well, I understand that, and I'm willing, I ain't got nothing to hide. I'm willing to give up a little bit of privacy for, you know, my kid's safety and stuff like that, but it doesn't seem to ever end. You know, these red light cameras that they put up there, oh, we're just putting these out here for public safety and that kind of stuff. We're not going to use them to write tickets. Well, once they were in place, it wasn't very long after that they began to write tickets on it, you know.
And right.
So that's how it just kind of slowly creeps in there on you. And I'm concerned, like you just mentioned here, you just listed off a bunch of stuff that was being signed into law while everybody's sitting there bickering back and forth whether this particular event did or didn't happen. And that is the same thing that happened under the Obama administration, under the Bush administration, under the Clinton administration. There were so many different laws when the incidents were going on. If you actually went back and looked at the timeline during every single episode, including 9/11, that every time that we had a major event in the United States, they passed all kinds of Orwellian-style legislation and laws during this time.
It's not just Trump's era. It's all of this is, you know, pretty much typical what happens.
Yeah. Now,
there are deliberate distractions. If they want to do something, they figure out, let's cause a distraction and get everybody riled up and focused on this one thing so nobody pays attention to what we're doing. And this is a key thing. You know, this recent thing, I was just talking this morning to my daughter about, you know, the type of person that this president is proving to be, you know. And again, it's not just Mr. Trump. This is all down through our history, okay? But this particular man has this sort of like this schoolyard bully gleeful bullying attitude, and he just put out at a press conference these very words, a short sentence that has everybody spinning and the whole world spinning. He said, "This is the calm before the storm," okay? And everybody started screaming at him, all the journalists. Mr. President, what do you mean? What do you mean? What's the calm before the storm? Mr. President, Mr. President. And, of course, he put this big grin on his face like a schoolyard bully does. Well, I'm not telling you. I just want to watch you squirm. Now, that's the attitude. The next day or so, he put out a very short sentence. There's only one way to deal with North Korea, period. Okay, Mr. President, what do you mean? What do you mean? What's that? What do you mean? What do you tell us, you know? And he's dangling these sentences, these clips, these little quips in front of people, and everybody's spinning and screaming, Mr. President, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? Tell us, you know? And he's got this gleeful look on his face like that schoolyard bully does when he puts you down on the ground and puts your face in the mud puddle. You know,
well, so, there's something that I want people to go out there and sit down and watch. And I'm serious about this, because if it's ever said that North Korea nuked the United States, I'm telling you right now, it's a lie. It's a flat out lie. And you go back and watch this series called Jericho 2006 TV series. And you watch this video from front to back. I mean, you're going to have to sit through every single episode, and you're going to have to watch to see what's going on, what's being said, and you're going to see so many incredible parallels with what you're seeing right now.
Yeah.
If it is ever said that North Korea nuked the United States, it is a flat-out lie, and it was an entity from inside our borders that was the one that was responsible for doing so.
And you could say deep state.
Yep.
You know, you could say it's the deep state, because the deep state, a lot of people really don't know what that deep state is, you know, but it's
there.
It is there, and they have an agenda unlike any you could imagine, but it is not for our good, and it would be that type of thing that they would do. They would set off a nuclear, you know, bomb on part of our country and say, it's North Korea, let's go to war. Like,
yep,
he said, there's only one way to deal with North Korea, so let's set that up. So you create the problem, and then you create the solution. The people who create the problem have been creating the solutions, and everybody falls into line, into step lock, you know.
In this
lockstep. There they go.
In this particular series, and I'm going to go ahead and just give a spoiler to the deal, basically a post-apocalyptic drama, and they literally set off nukes in several major cities and basically broke the United States up into multiple different sections where they had multiple different presidents, and they had the equivalents of multiple civil wars on multiple fronts going on. And when it was all said and done, the side that actually was the one who was guilty of setting the nukes off in the city were the ones who were responsible all along. And they're the ones that ended up coming up there with the new flag and the new school books and all that. So there's your problem, reaction, solution you mentioned.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, folks, look, if you trust anything I got to say whatsoever, humor me in this one task and sit down and watch that series. It's called Jericho. It's from 2006 TV series. Yeah, you can watch it on Netflix or probably even find episodes of it on YouTube. Sit down and watch it from start to finish, and you're going to come away from there with a whole different point of view on things that are going on around here. This, you know, for folks that think that they want a civil war, you just watch and see what people do to each other and your neighbor and how your neighbor would respond when somebody's hungry and the crazy things that they'll do. It was painful to watch this, because as you're watching this particular episode and you're seeing how people had to survive and the things that they did and the way that they treated one another, and it was just a really scary episode.
Well, there are other movies similar to what you're describing, you know, and I've always felt that the controllers that control Bollywood, Hollywood, whatever it is, the media too, mainstream media, have given us all the information that is coming. They're showing us very clearly with these apocalyptic movies and so on and so forth, and they lay it all out very clearly, you know, and there you go.
I feel like that's right too, because that I've seen so many parallels from so many yes. different movies with things that, you know, they actually put in a couple movies that there was a woman president, and just so happened she just kind of really looked like Hillary Clinton before that election ever even took place. Now, maybe she ain't in the office yet, but she was running for president. Maybe sometime next go around, maybe she will actually become president. And, you know, it's life imitating art or whatever. But this particular series right here, if you watch this, I'm telling you, you don't come away from there with a more profound understanding of manipulation. I don't know. There's no hope for you, because...
What is it again, Jericho what?
Yeah, it's called Jericho. It's a series that was a 2006 series called Jericho. It's J-E-R-I-C-H-O.
Okay.
Watch this video, and it's, keep in mind that this was done back in 2006. It's 2017 now, and listen to what they were talking about in there and who they blamed for the nuclear attack. It was North Korea who they blamed, and we went over there and supposedly devastated North Korea. And when Trump's saying something like, this is the calm before the storm, could this be what he was talking about?
Yeah, and then he adds 2 days later, so a couple days later, there's only one way to deal with North Korea. That's a bomb just dropped in your lap, and
well,
nothing
yeah.
else, no more information. And this is, yeah, this is deeply concerning, you know. I mean, when I, before Trump became president, before he was elected, it was maybe 2 weeks before, I was asleep, sound asleep. And I was awakened by this message, this voice that said, Trump will be president. And I felt like a blow to my stomach, and I felt this anxiety overcome me. This feeling of anxiety and fear, because I was shown all that we were heading for in that moment. Like, this is not going to be good. And so I knew he was going to be the president, and I knew where we were headed, you know, and it's unfolding right before our eyes. Like, if you have 2,000 new bills and policies that he has been putting in to eliminate anything in regards to the environmental issues, okay? He eliminated, for instance, and I'm just paraphrasing here, like certain manufacturers or companies that are polluting, but they have been, restrictions are on certain, you know, they have to have certain, you know, like you have to have people go in and check. It's like the food producing, you know, people go in there and check and see, is your kitchen clean, you know, or you got like dirt all over the place, or chickens or pigs in your kitchen, you know. So you have people that do that kind of stuff. So this is the same thing with these manufacturing or these big companies. They have certain environmental protections to, you know, that they have to go by these certain rules. Well, he's eliminated all those for all these corporations, these big companies. So he's eliminated those with a swipe of a pen. That's just one thing. That's about our environment. Okay, so those... you know, those environmental, or the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, yeah, they're corrupt. I'm not saying they're not. They are corrupt. It seems like every aspect of our, you know, of our country and the laws, rules, regulations, or whatever it is, there's corruption in everything. But there are certain policies of the EPA, you know, that were put in that are very important. And now he's just, with the swipe of a pen, eliminating, and setting things up. You know, for who? For what? For who, like you said, who is to gain? Who is it that gains about this? You know, I always have to jump, you know, leap over this big chasm that brings us to Agenda 2030. You know, what is all this about? It's about the controlling of the populations. It's the one world order. New World Order. There was this video of out there in Puerto Rico. This newscaster was speaking. She was in one of the shelters where all these people were there, and she was talking about what they're trying to help the people with who've lost everything. And she said, quote, "We are helping the people to realize that when they leave here, they will not be going back to the way their life was. They will be going back to a new world order." And that was her words.
Well, see, and that's been actually said by a lot of figures, that even presidents, that were talking about creating that. But then you and I say it, it's like we're tinfoil hat wearing nutcases for saying it. You know, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Well, maybe you think that I'm a conspiracy theorist. Why don't you just tell me why it is that the president of these United States use those exact terminology? Is he a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase as well?
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, it's not just the recent presidents. You know, Senior Bush was the first one that blatantly came out and said that, but there were others long before him.
Well, yeah, and it's not just been presidents. It's been actors and movies and all kinds of people.
And other policymakers and other people of authority and so on.
See, that's
so I'm just saying that there's something who, like, I think the question always has to be, who gains from this?
Yep.
Who is it that gains from this? And you know what they say, follow the money, you know? That's a good one. Follow the money, you know. Who gains from this?
It reminds me of that Nicolas Cage movie, I keep forgetting the name of it, Gods of War or something like that. I don't remember what it is, but either way, he's an arms dealer, and he's selling guns to both sides.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm thinking. Man, you know, if you want to make a lot of money on something, make it illegal. Because now you'll open a black market, you'll get fines, and be able to throw people in prison and get more money that way as well. Plus, you'll be able to sell your product for a higher price. So the whole war on drugs is basically the equivalence of what happened back during the Prohibition with alcohol, was that they made alcohol illegal, but after so many, it basically turned the streets into a war zone, they had to rescind all that and bring it back to where, you know, there was just legislation. You couldn't be a moonshiner or something like that, but you could still buy and sell alcohol or whatever.
Well, you had to get a license, you see. There's the money.
Yeah, but do you realize how much money was made during the Prohibition under the table, the black market, and a lot of politicians who were actually involved in that money-making
scheme? That's right.
And so do the same thing with marijuana. You know, you make it illegal, you're not only going to be able to bust people for the product, but you're going to be able to turn around and resell the product once you confiscate it from the person you sold it to.
Well, yeah. Definitely the marijuana is like an extraordinary medicine. Of course, if you mess with it, just like you mess with anything, like the coca leaves. the coca leaves is a medicine for the people, the native people. In South America, the cocoa is an ancient medicine, right? But it's not a drug. In other words, it's not a hallucinogen. It's not cocaine. They make it into cocaine.
But the point being in the deal was, until the government got involved in the situation, it didn't become a problem. There wasn't stoners running out blowing things up and all that kind of stuff, like that old reefer madness deal. You know, you're going to cause people to go out and rape each other and all that kind of stuff.
Well, again, that's fake news. I mean, there's a lot of fake news about marijuana, you know. There's a lot of that. I mean, there's just total madness of this war on drugs, just like the war on terror.
They unlocked Pandora's box, so to speak, when they did that, when they illegalized it, made it illegal, because now they had a black market and drug dealers fighting each other over territory and, you know, even supposedly CIA involved in selling it. Of course, you know, they're like, "Oh, we're just using it just so we can catch the bad guy." Really? Come on, man.
Well, you know, speaking of marijuana and alcohol, you know, I mean, we know the history of DWIs and people killing people because they're drunk. and they get in their cars, you know, all the cars should be taken away, you know, because those are, they're murdering people, yeah. You know. But you don't read any stories, that I haven't read anyway in our history, that somebody smoking a joint, you know, crashed into people because they were, you know,
yeah,
compromised, you know.
Matter of fact, I've actually heard a few documentaries and videos of cops saying things like they prefer the stoners because they're always driving under the speed limit.
That's right. Well, my favorite, I don't know, one of my favorite movies, Cheech and Chong, had me just laugh until tears came out of my eyes, was when Cheech and Chong, I don't know if you ever saw it, they were in the car going somewhere, and the whole car was filled with smoke, you know. They had these big, what they call bongs, you know, I guess, gigantic joints. And they were laughing their heads off, and then suddenly a cop comes and knocks on the window, you know, and they think they're driving on the highway, and then the long shot shows that they're actually on the Meridian.
Yeah, he said.
and the cop comes and the car, and it's just it's pretty hysterical, you know.
The one said, "How's my driving, man?" And he said, "I think we're parked, man."
I know. It was like that was a pretty funny scenario there, yep. You know, Cheech and Chong. But anyway, you know, I know that, you know, the marijuana or the plant, that plant, as we know more and more and more about, has been used for everything. And the First Flag, Washington, grew marijuana, that plant. And cannabis, you know, it's a healing medicine, of course, but also he grew cannabis, and the first flag was woven from cannabis. Did you know that?
Well, I believe it. You know, there's just, when I started this show today, and I put that the title in there, Unbelievable News, it was kind of like, I told Stephen in the chat room, it's kind of like clickbait, because I have a message, but you know, it's questionable. I mean, can you seriously believe anything the doggone news says? And if you go all the way back in history, and when TV first started, and you listen to what all they were saying back then, and then the videos about reefer madness and all that kind of stuff, if you're the average Joe back then and you're watching that deal, and you're thinking, wow, man, I don't want nobody smoking marijuana around me. They might try to hurt me or something like that, you know. And that's where the whole mess started, you know.
But nobody's talking about alcohol like that, you know. I mean, alcoholism is a severe, serious issue.
In people's lives, just the health issues alone.
Health issues, emotional issues, violence, you know, really, really dysfunctional families, you know, there's a history of people talking about, I was child of an alcoholic, you know, and so on and so forth, and it's a really one of the most dangerous drugs, and it's a big, big money maker, of course, and, you know, nobody's talking about that, just like nobody's talking about these shooters that are on pharmaceuticals. You know, every one of them, throughout 20 years of history, every one of them, and this guy recently down there in Las Vegas, the one, whatever his name is, he was also, and I said, I bet he was on some kind of pharmaceutical, and sure enough, it just came out in a news, you know.
Well, it don't surprise me, Ned.
That he was on drugs. He was on pharmaceuticals, antidepressants, and who knows all what else.
I seen a video one time that just kind of it kind of blew me away. It was like an animated video, and people were popping pills and drinking whiskey and smoking and all this kind of stuff. But the graphics on the video was like every time they get ready to take a drink of a bottle, a demon would come up out of the bottle and go down inside their mouth and stuff.
That's,
you know,
true.
And man, it just blew me away, because if you look at modern day society, people are self-medicating on such a massive
epidemic scale.
Yeah,
it's like epidemic, and that's documented. The epidemic of use of antidepressants and other opioids.
But that would have to once again bring you back to a question. why are all these people so uncomfortable with their lives that they feel the need to self-medicate or go to the doctor and get prescriptions for antidepressants or whatever? What is going on with our society that people are this messed up that they feel the need to do that? And if you really contemplate on how many people, I mean, seriously, there's like 200-300 million people in the United States alone, and I would venture to say that the majority of them are self-medicating in some form of fashion, caffeine or cigarettes or, you know, whiskey or pills or whatever. And in order for somebody to get that depressed or upset, then they have to have a perception of society being so bad. You see what I'm trying to say here?
I do, and I think that that's part of what I call the agenda. I mean, you know, if you set up a situation, a big problem, you create the problem, then you create the solution. So the pills are the solution for your misery, you know.
Yeah.
And the agenda is to create the misery, to really get people in such a state where they feel hopeless and helpless.
Or order out of chaos is what they said.
Order out of chaos, and that to me is all manipulated, you know. I mean, I was watching this commercial, I don't know, a year or so ago, of this one new antidepressant for young people. And the scene was a kitchen with a daughter and a mother, a teenage daughter and her mother, and they were like laughing and talking and hugging, and oh, it was a beautiful scene, happiness, full-blown happiness and joy, and everything's good and everything's fine. And then they start talking about how their lives have changed because their daughter was, you know, depressed and suicidal and blah, 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 and they got her on this new medication that will change your life, you know. So there you go. Then you look at I looked at the side effects. Okay, I'm always looking at side effects. What's the side effects of this new product, right? Well, it's suicidal, you know, depression, and liver problems, and I don't know, all kinds. The list of side effects of this drug that you're going to take or give to your child is freaking scary.
Yep.
It's so bad that you'll just say, okay, let's deal with it maybe in a more natural way. Maybe my daughter really needs help. Maybe I need to listen to my child. Maybe I need to help her with better food, you know, more healthy foods. You know, what are we feeding my child? What are we drinking, you know? How do we live our life? Do we spend time together? Do we share, you know, life in a way that is more healthy and harmonious to help my child feel safe and secure? You know, but nobody looks at that. Take the blue pill. The blue pill does it quickly and everything's going to be fine. You know, it just covers up the real issues and creates worse situations. That's what's happening here.
Well, there's two phrases that are blatantly right there in your face, and, you know, the definitions of them really kind of, I don't know, they're kind of loosely put, but one of them, e pluribus unum, which basically is supposed to mean the union between the states and the federal government, and basically, you know, out of many, one. And novus ordo seclorum can be translated as a new order of the ages. Now, does anybody out there know where these particular deals are written? Do you know where they're at?
No.
They're on our money.
Oh, that's right. They're on the money. We're handling it. It's going into a subconscious.
Yeah, they're out there on our money.
It's a constant intrusion in our subconscious, imprinting information. That's the language that is used, and you know, hidden information that has a meaning that we aren't aware of. It's around. It's in everything, pretty much, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, when people talk about the one world government, Novus Ordo Seclorum basically says a new order of the ages, and, you know, it's not much different than the other terminology or other phrase.
That's right. That's right. It's the language, it's the written word that has power. Yeah. And half the time when we're talking, we don't realize the power behind the words that we are using, you know, and the way we respond to people or the way we, you know, all spew out just cliches that are imprinted in our minds, you know, we don't even know. My daughter was talking about the other day to me. She said, you know, I realize we've been helping our children, trying to help our children, you know, my grandchildren, to apologize for something that they've done, you know, like, I'm sorry, you know, you say I'm sorry, right?
Yeah.
And she started thinking about the words sorry, the word sorry, and the specific so-called apology, I'm sorry, all right? Now, she looked up the meaning of sorry or I'm sorry, and it was very denigrating. It was like, I'm really, you know, like, for instance, I'm not a nice person, but more denigrating, and I can't remember what they were, more denigrating meanings of the words I'm sorry. In other words, it's not really an apology. It's yeah. making a statement about yourself, about how pitifully ignorant and awful and...
Yeah, I'm a terrible person.
I'm a terrible person and how degenerate I am. And I was thinking about that because, you know, she said to her kids, you know, my grandchildren, what do you... when you want your brother to say he's sorry for what he did to you, what do you really want?
Yeah,
and my granddaughter, who's 7, said, well, I want to... And this is about her brother, who's 10. I want to know if he still loves me. Okay?
Yeah.
And so my daughter said, well, why don't you ask him if he still loves you? So it's got nothing to do with, you know, apologizing. That doesn't solve the problem. It's the communication, the lack of communication about what you're really feeling or, you know, in your heart, you know? So the words... Now, I was thinking about how the people in Europe or the UK use sorry, right? It's completely different than the way we use sorry. I'm sorry means, supposed to mean, I'm sorry for what I did to you and blah, blah, blah. But there's a hidden meaning, as I just said. But in the UK, people say, they talk about someone, he's a sorry lot.
Man.
You know, right? There's a difference. Like, he's a real lost case. He's a sorry dude, you know, he's a sorry lot. You know, what a sorry mess you are.
Holy smokes. Stephen Gibbons posted something in the chat room, a picture of, and man, if this is true, really disturbing. And crazy enough, the guy in the center looks like Alex Jones.
I can't see it.
Anyway, I'll copy the link and post it in this chat for you. But... it says, in, it's a picture of some people pouring out some alcohol, but it says that in 1926, the federal government poisoned alcohol in an effort to curb alcohol consumption during the Prohibition. As a result, by the time Prohibition ended in 1933, an estimated 10,000 people died from being poisoned by their own government.
That's. I'm laughing because you said that looks like Alex Jones.
It does. Yeah. I'll post.
It's probably a clone, or maybe Alex Jones today is the clone of that guy. I don't know.
Yeah, click on that picture. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay, I will. I don't see. Oh my gosh.
Does that?
Well,
not,
oh, look at that.
Does that not look like Alex Jones?
It does.
He was involved in the Prohibition. There's another conspiracy.
Oh my gosh. And they actually... Well, you know, I'm not surprised. Listen, you can Google, you know, the history of the government poisoning their own people, you know, experimenting. And, you know, you can Google. It's there. This is nothing new.
Well,
you know?
What about the stories of the government... putting smallpox in blankets and giving them to the Native Americans.
Yes, people, that happened. And you know what? Hitler got that idea from what our government did to the Indian people. He took that and did that.
Man.
Against the gypsies, the homosexuals, the Jews, you know, that was one of his things he garnered from what the United States government was doing here against the Indian people. You know, I want to go back to this thing that you talked about, the demon coming out of the bottle.
Yep.
In our way, in the tradition that I follow, which is a Lakota tradition, there is the knowledge and wisdom which is carried through, you know, through generations and generations, okay, about energy or frequency, for instance, or entity. We call it, most people would identify with the entity, like an entity of something that is dark or something that is evil. So it is known throughout the culture of the Indian people that there are certain things that have attachment, like an entity or a darkness or an evil attachment. And one of those in the tradition that I belong to, in the Lakota tradition, is alcohol and, yes, and certain drugs too. They carry a, and I'll just say it, like a demonic energy, a demonic entity. And there are certain rules and regulations around ceremony that the people who are alcoholics, for instance, are not allowed, for instance, to touch the Chinampa Wakan, which is the sacred pipe, because the power of that pipe, okay, it's a communicator to Creator. When you load that Chinampa and you send that smoke, what we call sending that smoke out for prayers and health for people, okay, it's a power, an unknown power. So when you have a person who has blood on their hands or who is an alcoholic, they have that entity within them, and that power could run through that Chinampa and do great harm. So they were very well aware, of course, of, you know, alcoholism, because alcohol was deliberately introduced to the Indian people by the government, and that's documented as well. There was that plan, because it is known that Indian people cannot tolerate, as there are certain other people, and I think some of that comes into maybe the black nations, cannot tolerate certain things. They react differently, and alcohol was known to be one of those. So the Indian people knew about the evil of evil energies, let's say, like you said, a demon coming out of that bottle. That is very real. This is not just, you know, some funny kind of cartoon.
Well, I honestly believe it, because when you see how people literally change, I mean, almost as if they become possessed. I mean, you'll do things that you wouldn't do, you know, sober. You'd do them when you was drunk. That's fact, you know. You could say because, you know, basically you blurred your mind and such, but I don't know. I believe there's a whole lot more to it.
You look at people and you see something overtaking them, and you say, wow, who was that person? Like, that's so unlike them.
Yeah.
Right?
So if this guy from Vegas, if he was on mood-altering drugs, it could change the way that he perceived the differences between right and wrong. I mean, it's plausible.
Now, I'm going to go further with a conspiracy here, conspiracy theory, that people who are on those types of drugs, mind-altering drugs, may very well be more susceptible to mind control.
Yeah, and that sounds plausible to me as well, because there's also a documentary out there. I haven't been able to find a link back to this doggone video that I saw, but there was a sign that they put together. And this sign transmitted a wireless wave out there, almost like Wi-Fi. And there was absolutely no audio on this sign, but as people would go past this sign, they would literally hear the commercial of the sign.
Right.
So the technology is apparently there.
I think so, and I've always felt, yeah, there's something that happens to those people who are medicated, and then they become a shooter, you know, and they act like a person nobody recognizes, you know.
Yeah.
Like this brother or some relative of this recent shooter said, we had no idea, no clue that he could do anything like this, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's a piece that I've looked at. But listen, recently, you know what's happened in Cuba with the embassy in Cuba, the United States embassy in Cuba?
Uh-uh.
Okay. here's another wackadoodle thing. This has been going on for months, that the the United States Embassy, the people who are there from the United States, have had very strange illnesses popping up. And they are actually removing the people in the embassy. They're taking them back to the States because there's been strange vibrations and experiences and illnesses that they have detected, and nobody knows where it's coming from. And the Cubans are investigating this too. They're saying they have no clue, you know, but it's sort of like a mind control frequency that, you know, is really doing great harm. People have lost hearing. They have brain blips or fainting or various things going on, but it's become quite a thing. I guess you didn't hear about that.
No, I didn't hear about that, but for people in a scientific view to take a look at this, the easiest example that I can come up with that causes a physical reaction in a lot of people is fingers down a chalkboard. That sound is so uncomfortable. Especially, I can't stand it. I can't even stand the squeak of a piece of chalk going across a blackboard, or even the squeak of a magic marker writing on paper, you know. But I actually have a physical reaction when I hear that it makes me really highly uncomfortable. And that's just one tiny example. And so we know that audio can actually, you know, physically give you a sensation, so to speak, like the difference between a really lousy song and a really lousy singer as opposed to somebody who sings like an angel and such, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Well, I do, and this is called a medical mystery, mysterious attack. And, you know, it's interesting you're talking about the chalkboard thing. It's mind over matter. It doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. I worked through the mind, my own mind control, about not allowing that to bother me, you know, and we can do that.
But imagine, you know? But imagine if I was on a mood altering drug and, you know, I was susceptible to, you know, being aggravated really easily, and then that's all I kept hearing in my head was fingers on a chalkboard, you know. And I hadn't got to the whole mind over matter where I'm able to tune it out or something like that. Could you see where that would literally drive me insane?
Yes, it's a good tool.
Yeah. So,
but let's look further with this. So this situation, this mysterious attack, this medical mystery, okay, where they're withdrawing, you know, the people from the American embassy, right? Now, Tillerson, Rex Tillerson repeated that the American assertion that the embassy personnel were deliberately targeted, but he did not blame Cuba. And Cuba has told us it will continue to investigate these attacks, but here's the piece that I'm looking at, okay? These symptoms include hearing loss, cognitive difficulties. Okay, now this has threatened the future of Cuban-American relations. Ta-da! There you go.
See?
Who's doing this? Who's throwing these waves, these electromagnetic waves or these frequency waves at these people deliberately to affect the future of Cuban-American relations?
That's a good question. You know, there were stories that came out at the beginning of the first Iraq war. You remember how people were beefing up and talking about how Saddam's Republican Guard were like the bad boys of the Middle East, and you know they were well trained and they were really good fighters. Well, there were stories that came out that the U.S. military used these sound weapons on their troops, and these troops were literally coming up and surrendering, turning themselves in, crying and hugging the soldiers and all this kind of stuff. And when you think about it, it's like, it's so unbelievable, but it's so plausible at the same doggone time. You see what I'm saying? If those stories are true,
just do your research about HARP, HAARP. You know, Angels Don't Play This Harp was the book that came out, the information that
came out.
Yeah,
I actually got that book.
Yeah. And that was for that very purpose, was to, as a mind control. Of course, they said it was just for, you know, animals and whatever, but it was really also, they said, about if there was any invasion on the United States, about, you know, from foreign troops or whatever, they would use this harp against their minds, where they wouldn't be non-functioning. You know, they wouldn't be able to function, and so on and so forth. So here you go. Now we have this in Cuba. You know,
that same documentary that I saw about the Iraqi soldiers just coming up and surrendering and all that kind of stuff was also, they had a clip in there where they had put a really big Marine in front of this sound cannon kind of deal, and they told him to see how long he could stand there, and that guy couldn't stand there more than 5 seconds before he was so uncomfortable he had to get the heck out of the way. And they say that these are like for crowd control and stuff. So the technology literally has been there. I mean, it's disturbing, because, man, how could you fight against that? If you were a civilian militia that had to go against a tyrannical government, and they had access to technology like that where you couldn't even stand to face your enemy. You see what I mean?
I do. Is Patty on?
Yeah, I added her in the call. I think she's there. Hi, Patty, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, sis, how's it going?
I'm doing good. A little bit tired, but I want to say thanks again for all the wonderful prayers and good energy. Opal's through her second treatment, and she's still doing good. She says her hair is starting to thin out.
Right.
Man, that's so sad.
One more treatment to go, and
that's great.
Good with that, you know.
Well, that's good. That's good news. Yeah. One more treatment to go, yeah.
Yeah, we have to hand it to our medical system that would rather kill every cell in your body rather than get the corporations to stop polluting and toxifying our air, water, and land, you know.
Well, that's another thing I don't understand about all the different possible alternative medicines and natural medicines like that, how the EPA can stand up against them and people just allow it to happen. I mean, there are certain medicines in Canada that you can't get here, and there are certain medicines in Mexico that you can't get here, and vice versa, you know, and it's just crazy to me. You know, if there's any possible that this might work, what harm is it to try it? You see what I mean?
Well, here's the real kicker. You got several states that say, yes, we want to use this cannabis oil because, yes, it's actually working. And the other states are saying, no, it's illegal, and we're going to put you in jail for it. You know?
Yeah, it's a mess.
This makes no sense.
You know what? Stephen Gibbons found the link to that doggone ELF billboard. I'll tell you what.
Is that the one in New York City? No.
Not sure where it's at.
I don't mean to interrupt, but while you guys are talking about this, have you seen these structures, these mega structures that they're putting up in New York that they're not talking about? We're just putting them up. We don't know what they do. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have heard of it.
I'm out of loop. I'm missing out.
I have heard of it, and then I saw your post as well, but I saw this a while back, those mysterious buildings. Seems like they're just some huge block of whatever. Nobody knows what's inside. There are no windows, seemingly no entrances or exits. It's very mysterious.
And they're like 3-4 stories tall, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to click on this doggone video and try to stop the audio before it goes over live, but I want to see where it's coming from.
Yeah, it's American, what is it? Yes, it looks like New York City. Sounds like New York City. S-Quad Tech, Mind Control. They're just showing the building. 73% of Americans believe. What's that on the sign? I don't know. It's not saying anything.
I don't know. I muted the audio, so I can't hear it, but I can see it. This is the same video I saw where people would actually hear something.
Oh yeah.
And there's no audio. It's just ELF waves.
Yes.
Extra low frequencies or something like that.
Right.
Extreme low frequencies. But see, that is a disturbing technology because, especially if you got people on mind-altering drugs and you could, like, make them think they're hearing the voice of God and God's telling you to go out there and jihad everybody.
Well, listen, people who have done certain things over the last several years who have done some atrocious things have said, I heard a voice in my head. Okay? And that, I think, I don't know whether it was Dylan Roof, or was that his name, or another shooter who said that in his statement. He said he heard voices in his head, and I'm thinking, okay, there you go. What is that?
Well, it ain't the first time that one of the alphabet soups in the world basically pulled some shenanigans on people. You know, they actually got the declassified documents out there talking about how they would release certain like things like a cold or a flu and subways so they can supposedly see how far it would track or whatever, you know, biological research and such, and, you know, different things that they've done to the military over the years and stuff to test to see, you know, even in vaccines to the enlisted people out there that later on come back with terrible health effects or side effects out of the deal. So it ain't the first time the government's ever tested on people or done something rotten. You know, and it's disturbing to think that you, well, like you said, you can always trust your government, right? So
yeah, it's
whoever
there's
said that is a fool.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I agree.
From my own experience.
I agree. I'll say it in jest because, you know, sarcastically, because, you know, I know a lot of the history of what they've been pulling on people, you know, and man. If you can't trust your media, and you can't trust your government, and you can't trust the alternative media fully, I mean, I trust the alternative media better than I would the mainstream media, but then I also have to be cautious when I watch alternative media as well. Because you never know. It's like, you know, sneaking somebody in the crowd who's there to do nothing more than agitate. How you know the guy that's telling you the information on YouTube is not doing the same doggone thing? You see what I mean?
Well, there is some interesting information that's come out about this shooter guy. The plane, his private planes,
he had private planes?
Yeah, this guy was pretty well off. He's a gambler, I guess.
Yeah.
The shooter. His private planes. Well, guess who's had one of his planes for the last, I think it's a year, that's his plane in their possession. The Department of Homeland Security.
Okay. Right.
They didn't know this guy.
That's the whole thing, man. There's a lot of information, a lot of questions out there that need to be answered before somebody makes a conclusion that, yeah, we got to give up all our rights because this is going on. I mean, personally, you know, it makes you want to stock up as opposed to giving up, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, when we look at the way things pan out, when we look at the Gulf of Tonkin, when we look at the all the different false flags that were used to take us into wars, to take us into, quote, police actions, to bring, quote, democracy to heathen countries, all of these false flags that have been played out, the bad guys, weapons of mass destruction. Oh, I'm sorry, we were mistaken. It was our weapons of mass destruction. You know, but anyway, when we look at this, how can we believe that anything that happens on a massive scale like this is not propagated, is not planned, is not created by this government or any other government for that matter. When we look at the reality of it, when we look at the facts of it, we're always chasing it back to the same source. So how realistically say, it seems to me it would be harder to say that it wasn't our government or it wasn't a planned attack than it would be to say it is a planned attack, it was our government. You know, it's more plausible to me. It doesn't seem plausible that it would be just some Looney Tune who just happened to get all this massive amount of ammunition and guns all of a sudden and decided that, oh, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to shoot this place up and I'm going to carry all of this in there and nobody's going to notice and it'll be all right. You know?
Yeah. You know what these structures look like to me?
What?
It looks like something that they really don't want people smashing if they get angry. It looks to me like you could actually put some of the technology we just talked about, crowd control technology or even mind control for that matter, inside of these structures right here. And if somebody got wise to it, these look like they were deliberately designed to basically deflect bats, bombs, cars, or whatever that they could try to tear this thing down with. You see what I mean?
It does look like it's a weapon to me.
Yeah.
I thought as soon as I saw it, I said, this is our energy system here. Because if you look at it, it looks to me, it looks like it's a giant freaking speaker.
Yeah. And, you know, we just talked about fingers on a chalkboard. To me, it's not funny. If they keep blasting fingers on a chalkboard and that, I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to want to go and smash that speaker down.
Yeah, and
they got it. They got it armored, so you can't. You see what I mean?
And they're not telling people, even the people who are erecting these are saying that we don't know what it is. How can that be that you're told to, here, we're going to want you to build this thing, but we're not going to tell you what it is, and you're not going to know what it's used for, but you're going to build it all over your city. Okay, we'll do that, you know?
Well, that's the same thing as chemtrails. All these men women and women who fly these planes constantly in all these formations crisscrossing across the sky, sometimes four or five planes at the same time, they're just doing it. They're not questioning it. They're not saying, well, what is it? What am I putting out there in the atmosphere?
Well, and it's not like they're going to hide this, like, we'll put it up and nobody will notice, right?
Exactly.
So they didn't care that people would notice. In fact, the way it's built and as big as it is, you would know for a fact that everybody is going to notice this.
But you won't get any answers, will you?
No. So isn't that, you know, wouldn't you expect that somebody says, well, if we erect this, you know people are going to want to know what it is. And the guy says, that's okay, we just won't tell them.
We won't tell them, and after a while they'll get tired of asking and it'll go away.
Yeah.
Because guess what? We'll put up another diversion.
They'll take their smartphones and take pictures of it. So please spot by it.
Oh, they'll create a diversion. They'll create a hurricane, or they'll create a shooter, or...
It'll be a new
You're breaking up.
Yeah, I might be. I was muted.
Yeah.
I was talking to the children. I have children.
Well, I just think when they do these kinds of things, so yeah, people will, oh, what is that? And they'll start passing it around on YouTubes, and they'll, for a while, they'll just, you know, be questioning this, and all the theories will be popping out all over the place. They won't get any answers, and then a diversion will hit, and they'll go to that. They'll go to something else.
Well,
you know, a deliberate diversion.
They can always go to their standby, which is, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory, you know, and that, you know, that just drives me nuts. Because for all the years that we talked about them spraying stuff in the sky and it was just a conspiracy theory, and then finally after so many years they come out and say, yeah, we're actually doing this kind of stuff, you know. it was actually said by the mainstream media that they were really spraying stuff. And then even during the time whenever they were saying they weren't doing it, you could go out there and look up. There were companies out there that advertised that they did do it. And they had a 180-mile radius of where they could actually manipulate the weather. And then you see videos where NASA is running supposedly a new rocket that they're going to try to use to go to Mars or something like that. And it's got hydrogen and oxygen fuel inside there. And when you fire this thing up, it literally creates a rain cloud that in turn releases its rain. And they did this, ran it for like 500 seconds, not too far away from where all the flooding from the hurricane was going on. Why would you want to be adding more rain to the atmosphere when people were flooding out? That's the questions. What do you
think? It's also like during the eclipse when they decided that it would be a really good thing to drop this bacteria that is resistant to all forms of antibiotics and stuff, or treatment and stuff, and it would be interesting to drop it during the eclipse to see if it makes it back to Earth intact. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I didn't get that one, but I'm speechless again. Again and again and again, I'm speechless. But you know the thing about now they came out and say, yeah, we have been spraying, but you have to know for years they denied it. Now they set in this alarm about global warming. Okay, they did that. First they're spraying, denying it, and then they push global warming, and now they have a solution to global warming, and that's the spraying.
Yeah.
So now they're admitting it, but it's going to help you. Okay, it's not a bad thing. The spraying the chemtrails is a good thing. It will eliminate global warming. So everybody relax.
And how many people do you think are going to buy that?
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm talking about. This
won't exist anymore, so it won't bother you.
It's going to be okay, folks. This is the dumbing down scenario. It's a constant dumbing down. Again, you know, they create the problem, and then they give you the solution. And everybody goes, oh, phew, they're taking care of it. We don't have to worry. Global warming is going to be eliminated because they'll put up this sky shield.
Oh, they're taking care of us. I feel so much better.
Somehow I've got this strange sound in my ear, this high-pitched screaming sound, and I can't think straight. What's going on?
I just want to kill people, and I don't understand why.
You know, Stephen Gibbons posted something in the chat room, said toll roads, facial recognition, data collection, and they seem to have a lot of Cree LEDs. He says, have you tried driving towards blinding light? I got stuck on a toll road on the way back from Michigan, and man, if you was ever to have an emergency out there on a toll road, you're screwed. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. The traffic was wall to wall. They had you corralled into, you couldn't turn off the road. Once you got on the road, you were stuck there. They were getting your money no matter what. And if there was ever, a heart attack or something like that, they'd have to bring a helicopter in and lower some EMTs down on a rope or something like that, because you wasn't getting no ambulance through there. And so I'm just thinking, man, just as that example alone, not only can they have time to take your picture of your driver's license plate or whatever, or your face, a picture of your face, but they got you corralled in there and they're going to make money off of you as well. The people of this world are, you know, I know it sounds rude, but the people of this world are getting shafted, man. there ain't no doubt in my mind. This stuff is getting, it's just getting beyond ridiculous.
And it is the world, it's not just here in the United States,
yeah.
You know.
It's
it
all
is
over.
The whole world are dealing with this.
You can't even get on a plane anymore without being groped, man.
I'll tell you, it's such a violation the first time, and this is years ago, I haven't traveled, I've been told not to travel because of this very thing, this energy intrusion, you know. The frequencies that they're zapping you with and the molesting, outright molestation that you experience. And it is. It's such an assault.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, you're told when you're a child about feelings in your tummy like they call it, like creepy feelings.
Yeah.
That means that person is violating you and you need to tell mommy or daddy, right?
Yep.
Now they're telling kids it's okay, this person is a stranger, but they're groping you, and that's okay. You have to deal with it.
Well, it's dang disturbing. It used to be innocent until proven guilty, and now it's suspected until proven innocent. You can't even go anywhere without somebody watching you. You know, and I give this example, maybe it don't sound like much of a big deal to most folks, but to me, when I go into any grocery store or any store, I am so paranoid that somebody's going to perceive that I'm trying to steal something, and I know they're watching me at all times, that I keep my hands in plain sight, and whenever I go to get my cell phone or something out of my pocket, I'll put my pocket right towards the camera, and I'll reach in and show them that I'm just getting my cell phone. And then sometimes when you're leaving stores like Walmart, you ain't even bought nothing. You just went in to go to the bank or something like that. And on your way out, the doggone alarm goes off and, you know, you're supposed to step back and wait for one of the attendants to come over and check your bags or whatever. I hadn't even shopped and that dang thing went off.
Wow. And I'm That's like, amazing.
What in the heck is going on here? And
uh-huh.
You know how embarrassing that is? It's humiliating.
Well, it just is. It's all preparation, you see.
Yeah.
It's all preparation for what's coming, you know, and I hate to say it, but for that 2030 agenda where you will be chipped, number one, you will not, that's going to be required. Right now they're pushing it through as well. It's making your life easy. So they want to see how many people will just step up to the plate and do this insane thing. Yeah, oh, I'll get chipped. I don't have to carry a wallet then, and, you know, and I don't have
to
carry this pocketbook.
I'm not.
Yeah, so.
I'm not even going to associate with anybody who is. That's all, you know, I know there's going to be family members that say, well, I got to feed my family, so I'm taking the chip, you know, and I'm like, no, we're going to garden around here, and if you want to take that chip, you're just going to have to go out there in the world because I ain't having no part of it at all.
Well, the idea is that it will be required in the future. I don't know how far off it's going to be, but I predicted this many years ago, about 15 years ago, that there will be requirements for people to be chipped, because the government then will know exactly where you are, what you're doing, what you're buying, and they'll have control over you, because you won't be able to buy food, get gas or anything, or go anywhere because you don't have a chip.
Yep.
And the rest of the population, or the majority of the population, will fall into lockstep with this, because they're already starting to do it under the guise of, well, this will make my life easier. And for medical purposes, okay, they'll have all my medical records. Well, you know, that's a good thing, but in a way, it's not a good thing, because that puts you in a position where you are under the control. And who knows what that chip, what can be pushed through that chip as far as mind control stuff. See, that's what really concerns
me. Yeah, that's a disturbing thought there. But they're going to have to force it on me, and even if they do force it on me, if there's any way for me to pull it out, it's coming out. I'm just not doing it. I mean...
Now, some people are saying, I just want to throw this in there, some people are calling that the mark of the beast, you know? I don't know. I'm just passing that on.
Well, that's what it said in the book, that there'd be a mark you couldn't buy, sell, or trade, be in your hand or your forehead. But look, I'm telling you right now, this one man ain't getting it. You know,
You can't discount the use of nanotechnology.
No.
Because it is rampant throughout the world right now. Nanotechnology has been released. It's in foods. It's in medicines. The science behind this only goes so far, and then they stop because they know that if they go any further with this research, they'll have to come back and say, oops. You know?
Oops,
yeah.
Guess what? Well, look. Say a little bit about that nanotechnology. You know, I do know a little bit about it, but, you know, what exactly is this nanotechnology? What is going on?
What it is producing, in some instances, organic matter that will react and do programmed synthesis. Like if they introduce it in through medicine, take a pill, and this little nanobot they're not a cell that it's been programmed to find, and then it will infiltrate the cell and it will start producing itself over and over and over and over and over again. And these nanobots, they are supposedly created for specific systems to do specific things. And once these things are done, they're supposed to turn themselves off, except for they don't know that they'll turn themselves off. And once you take it into your system, it will also leave your system and go into the waste systems. And then where does it go from there? Into the environment. Nanotechnology is something that cannot be contained. There's no way. They say that it's a medical breakthrough. Yeah, on the face of it, it is, because it's able to be programmed to go into a cancer cell and eradicate that cancer cell. The problem being is it doesn't stop there, because the body will eliminate nanobots, and they will then go into the environment. And these things are programmed to create themselves, right?
Yeah.
This is a nightmare, isn't it? Who in their right mind, as they say, but there is not, I don't know, like you say, it's good on some level, but it's interesting to me when scientists come up with something that may be helpful for humanity, somebody else from the deep state or wherever comes in, steps in, and takes control over it and decides they can use this as a weapon.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine what you could do with technology like that? If you didn't like somebody, they wouldn't even know you got them. You could send these things in to destroy their cells and stuff like that. That's insane.
Yeah, if they ever put all the technology together that's been devised to kill a person, I mean, that we have on any subject, it would probably be volumes and volumes. The Smithsonian could probably not hold the amount of information on documentation of things that have been created. And we don't even know us. We only know. You know, in the 1920s, they went through Chicago and Boston with cars that put out gas clouds just to test bacteria and viruses on the pussy, whether or not what mortality rate have between vaccines to counteract it. This is what in the 1920s, you know, the passing, like you said, of the blankets of smallpox. And the use of fluoride, we don't know how destructive and how inhumane these things were, giving black populations syphilis.
Patty,
just to be able to watch the disease. This is what we know. So
your Skype is cutting out really bad.
That figures.
Yeah, it seems like every time you get on something, information like that, it's just starts jacking around. And so there's another conspiracy in the deal. We've had shows in the past where we started talking about certain subjects, and then suddenly we start having internet troubles.
Well, there are, I did pop in this, in the chat, the 13 most evil government experiments on the human population. So, you know, it's in the chat, but just for instance, deadly chemical sprays on American cities. Now, this is the mid-20th century, so it's the 1900s, you know, late 1900s, or, you know, the Army, CIA, and government conducted a series of warfare simulations upon American cities to see how the effects would play out in the event of an actual chemical attack. You know, so they sprayed San Francisco, the Navy, with bacterial pathogens, and in consequence, many citizens developed pneumonia. Savannah, Georgia, and Evron, Park, Florida, the Army released millions of mosquitoes in hopes that they would spread yellow fever and dengue fever, and this left Americans struggling with fevers, typhoid, respiratory problems, and the worst, stillborn children. And it goes on and on and on. So, we're the guinea pigs, and nobody knows this. The human experiments to test the effects of the atomic bomb. And on it goes. It's like mind-blowing, you know? They injected prisoners with Agent Orange. Let's see what Agent Orange does. How can we test? Oh, we've got prisoners over there. Let's just inject them with it so that we can use it in warfare so we'll know what will be happening to the enemy.
Yeah. Once again, you got to ask that same question. Who stands to gain from all this? You know, the drug companies, if you can get people sick and keep them sick, you can make a lot of money selling drugs. And if you can keep off real cures, and basically, if you have a product, an alternative medicine, and you have on there anything that even remotely says cure on it, they'll come get you.
I'm sorry to do this, but I have to read this. This is what's going on. Number 9 in this list of 13 was infecting Puerto Rico with cancer in 1931. A Dr. Cornelius Rhodes, sponsored by the Rockefeller Institute to conduct experiments in Puerto Rico, he infected Puerto Rican citizens with cancer cells, presumably to study the effects. Now, what's most striking is that the accusation stemmed from a note he allegedly wrote, allegedly, of course, but the Puerto Ricans are the dirtiest, laziest, most degenerate, and thievish race of men ever to inhabit this sphere. I have done my best to further the process of extermination by killing off 8 and transplanting cancer into several more. All physicians take delight in the abuse and torture of the unfortunate subjects.
Holy smokes.
This is evil, right?
Yeah.
This is downright evil.
That's beyond evil, man. I tell you what, if you come across information like this, what really disturbs me the most about it all is that the people out there in the mainstream media and even some in the alternative media should find it their mission to inform the world. You know what JFK was talking about right before he got shot, about this vast conspiracy that was going on, and then suddenly a couple weeks later he gets shot. Well, he was talking about informing the people. Well, you got mainstream media who, you know, a lot of people trust, and they believe the information coming out. If you were part of this deal and it was a real, the real truth media source, so to speak, then you would think that these reporters would be doing everything in their power to get this information out. Look, they're killing people over here. They're doing this to this country over here, you know, and if there were evidence on the table and they didn't present it, I hold the media just as responsible as I hold any corrupt factions of the government responsible as I would your average Joe if they were involved in the situation. Because, like you said, that's pure evil.
You also, innocuous things like talcum that was used for decades, that was sold by Johnson & Johnson and every other freaking company, talcum powder, which everybody used, you know,
right,
back then.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
They knew all along that it would cause cancer, that it would cause kidney disease. I remember reading a book maybe 15, 20 years ago on a woman. It was a fictional book. A woman said, Dotney, that there was a rash of kidney failure, and the town was supported by the industry of talcum powder, this company that produced talcum powder. And she, in this fictional book, connected the dots that it was the talcum that was actually causing this, right? This is a fictional book, 20-something years ago. And today, what do we have? That fiction is reality.
Yeah, that's why I tell everybody.
The same thing happened with Infamil, that milk for babies. Infamil,
yes.
They, you know, was finally banned in the United States, but they started sending it to Africa then.
And that's scary
because... All I'm saying is downright evil.
That's scary because my kids used to drink that back in the day.
Well, a lot of us did. A lot of, you know, I mean, the same thing with Gerber baby food. I mean, Gerber baby food had MSG in it that was really killing babies. And you know? And
saccharin,
various other things. Just go down the line.
Saccharin,
well, we
and
have
aspartame.
Yeah, you got the conspiracy theory about the melamine rice that was produced in China. And they said, oh, that wasn't true. Yet they're putting videos out that are saying, look at this rice they sent us. It actually burns and melts. You know, it doesn't get soft like rice. It's not the same thing. And you can see the two differences in the rice, the melamine, right? So... yeah, it's just a conspiracy theory, though. Don't worry about it.
Now, look at this, though. What you just said reminded me of something. Okay, about rice. Remember, Chibzis, we were talking last week about you said the rice, when somebody was praying over the rice, it grew this way and that way, and when somebody did, you know, said nasty words, and I was talking about the water, the same thing?
Yeah.
So, we're all talking about this stuff here. It seems kind of like, well, what the heck, we're dead, that's it, right? We have no recourse. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about the power of word, because everything has a frequency, all right? All these things have frequencies. Everything has an energy and a frequency. So these frequencies of these specific tainted, like infamil and rice and flour, whatever it is, all have a frequency, and it's been corrupted, right? So GMO seeds are corrupted, so... and a lot of the foods are corrupted, the water is corrupted, and so on. But we have a water ceremony, and it was shown, of course, by Emoto about the words love, and I'm so grateful for you, and I love you, change the molecular structure back to its harmonious system. So this is something that we all need to know. So it's like, that's why in our way we pray over our food, you know, is thank you for this food. You know, I'm so grateful for this abundance of food. You know, that's going to change the frequency of that tainted product. I mean, this is, of course, you have
how many people pray again?
Well, there you
sit down now. Yeah.
There you go. How many even have real food on their table? It's not even real food.
Well,
I'm just
we
saying.
Know that Monsanto, one of the main things with these GM is saying they're penetrating the parts of our brain, the pineal gland. And such, and they are corroding it. They are, some of these things are specific to the pineal gland. And we wonder, we talk about all the time about what's wrong with the people. Why aren't they aware and awake? Why are they not reacting to the dangers that are in front of them and are going berserk over the bull crap. They'll freaking pronoun being used in the wrong way when the media says something, but they don't care when they're in their own homes. And we want, well, is this part of the reasoning behind that?
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I think so. I think it is. I'm getting what you're saying, and we've talked about this too, and so we have all these specifics, and I'm going to say specifics, that are created and manufactured for a specific effect upon the pineal gland, for instance, or upon your mind. Like fluoride, they say, you know, in the water prevents you from a cognizance, you know, from thinking clearly. So how can you function as a human being and have cognizance or clarity of thinking and response and so on, if every one of these particular chemicals they're putting out are specific toward a part of our body? So that's very real, but I still want to go back to the power of word and the power that we do have. Now, there are videos, there are music, certain music frequencies that do support the pineal, that do create a balance and a harmony and a healing effect frequency that people can use. Of course, they'd have to know about this, or they'd have to believe in this. They'd have to get this piece, right?
Well, I don't know, man, but if you sit back and try to contemplate all this, it'll give you a headache a mile wide. It's crazy.
I think it's important that we don't get... See, here we are. I think it's important that we don't drop our own frequency into hopelessness.
Well, I think that that's one of the reasons why this show and other shows like this is so important, because, you know, people got to understand that there's options available to us. There's been options for alternative energy, alternative medicine. They just don't know where the information is, and for us to be able to pass links on and information to people, you know, it gives them some sort of, you know, resource. I'll say that because Stephen Gibbons is working on a page here on ShazizRadio.com where he's putting in resources for YouTube researchers and websites with information, and he's doing a really good job on this deal so far. And it's just, people got to have a place to go to find some sort of solution to everything. You know, there's in alternative medicine, when you're telling me about your friend or family member that is having chemotherapy, I'm like really sinking down in my seat. I'm feeling so bad because I know that there were researchers in the past, like Raymond Rife, who were using sound frequencies to destroy bad cells, and that is a better alternative than to bust your immune system to try to cure off things, because it don't... See, that's the thing about chemotherapy. It's not discriminative to the bad cells alone. It kills off good ones as well. And there's other medicines out there. They actually got radioactive pills. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And they're supposed
to... with the Rife machine and all these other therapies, alternative therapies that have actually shown to be successful, the government or some aspect of the government steps in and destroys, you know, that person's records and, you know, and puts them in jail or claims that they're frauds or whatever. You know, this is so why would they even do that? You know, they say, of course, they're not professional, or they don't have licenses, or they don't have, FDA approval, or whatever it is.
Well, my
question, gonna find some reason.
My question for all that is, if it was such a conspiracy, why is it that there was a conspiracy out there where suddenly somebody started documenting all these, I think they call them holistic doctors, natural cure kind of doctors or whatever, that just kind of come up being either suicided or, you know, car accidents and such, and it was disturbing because there was quite a few names on this list of people in recent time that, you know, were working on cures for, like, cancer and stuff like that, and were trying to put out papers about cures, and suddenly they just come up, to kill herself and stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Whistleblowers from vaccine safety also are turning up suicided or dead. Yeah, big rash of it.
Well, the question then, once again, who stands to gain from all of it? And it always goes back to the follow the money trail, and the money trail is this. The drug industry is huge. I mean, multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar industry, and, of course, they got a lot of money invested in their product, so it's obvious that if you want to sell cold medicine, you don't want the cure for common cold coming out. You ain't gonna make no money. And I had seen a video that I can't even remember the actual name of the video, but it was a guy that worked in the pharmacy that was like, once he quit from the pharmacy because he just couldn't take it anymore, because he knew about alternative medicines and stuff like that, and yet they were, you know, sticking people to these pills that are like really super expensive that the person couldn't even really afford, and then they had to go ask the government for assistance, and so the only way they could get these drugs was through government programs, and he just didn't think it was right, so he had to quit. It's disturbing. What do you guys think? Did I lose you?
I was just sending into the chat this YouTube on the pineal gland activation frequency. It's 936 hertz. It's binaural beats that support and help the pineal gland. There's many of these on YouTube. Specific frequencies for the brain, for instance. It detoxes your pineal gland. Others for, for different organs. So there's many of these things that, for stress relief and so on. This is just one option, are these types of uses of frequencies.
Let me ask you a question. Maybe kind of a bizarre kind of question. Why is it you think that people like the three of us and people in chat rooms and doing radio shows similar to this can see all these things and make common sense decisions or thoughts about this deal, but the majority of the world out there just can't see for some reason or refuse to see? Am I making any sense of what I'm trying to ask you here?
I know exactly what you're talking about, Shaviz. Me and Barb have had this same conversation 1,000 times to where we cannot be... It has to be some type of manipulation. And why are we not subject to it? This is because when you look at what's going on today, the information that is out there, the research that has been done, the solutions that are there, and then you look at the masses who will fight you tooth and nail, will call you every name in the book, will think that you're the craziest, looniest toon out there,
and you can't
reach them.
There was a guy in The Matrix, the actual movie The Matrix, that said that the people inside The Matrix would literally fight to the death to preserve the system that keeps them oppressed. Doesn't that sound familiar?
But it's extreme, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, with the amount of information that we do have to present, information that can't be disputed, where even the thugs out there, the controllers, have had to come out and admit, because they haven't been able to hide it anymore, because the people have brought it and done such great research. It's out there. Look what they've had to do with chemtrails. No, they don't exist. No, it's just a bunch of crazies. Well, it might exist. We're thinking about it. Well, actually, we're doing it. They didn't do that on their own. We made them. HARP. All of these different things that are coming out now. And you have to wonder, what is the mechanism that is being used to dampen the people's minds, their cognitive ability, their ability to connect the dots, that what is reality is what is affecting them also. They think, well, it's a bubble, it doesn't affect me. Right.
Yeah, and what makes us, I'm just going to say, immune to it for some reason, because we're doing these shows and we're talking about all this kind of stuff, and we're showing people there's answers out there, there's solutions, and we're trying to get people to come to the table and help us work these things out. What's different about all of us that the majority of the people... the terminology, I guess some people like to use, is being awake or whatever, but it's like...
I just had a woman yesterday ask me that question after ceremony. She said, how come there's some of us that have escaped the matrix, if you want to say, or have escaped the total dumbing down, that we have some awakeness, and yes, Patty and I have, we have discussed this, because that's a huge question, what happened to us, or what didn't happen to us, how come that is, how do we explain this, I mean, I can only speak for personally, my own experiences personally, is that, It did take me many years to get to wade through the controller's imprint, but as a child, I had that wisdom inside of me that I knew without a doubt that things were wrong, that people were lying, that there was something going on hidden, and I knew the truth in relationship, for instance, to the healing from nature, to a divine omniscience, something, a source that was key to me. So I did have that knowledge, and then I had to wade through as I got out into the world. Of course, starting off in a dysfunctional alcoholic family, I had to wade through a lot of stuff, and the societal imprinting and the brainwashing and the mind control stuff. And so I had to go that route. But internally, I still had this peace, you know. And I feel for me personally, it's sort of like, I just want to say it, I made an agreement to come here. You know, I feel that very strongly. I feel many of us did, if not the majority of people. We made an agreement to come here during this specific time and take up positions. I call it our job or our original agreement. And the position that I find myself in today is here with you guys, talking about these things and giving alternatives and shining the light on issues that need to be spoken about. You know, I feel that this was spirit guided. That's all I can say about this. That feels right to me. I'm not saying I'm anybody special. I'm just saying that there was, you know, a connectedness, a contract, let's say, or an agreement that I made to come here to participate in life during this really crucial, challenging time that has brought me through to find the sacred path of the Lakota people, my tradition and my own native tradition, you know, to come forward, to come out, and to be guided and to be able to hear the guidance and to participate on this level. You know, it hasn't been an easy journey.
I get it, and I fully understand. I'm telling you, you know, I actually thought that, you know, this, I took a pipe to the back of the head years ago, and it made my brain just do things that it normally didn't do before. It just kind of rerouted itself to, you know, compensate for the damage. And I keep telling people I see things that, you know, I see the world in a different manner in which it, than the average Joe, so to speak. It's hard for me to explain unless you could actually see through my eyes to see what it is that I see. But one side of it would have been a bad thing, but then on the other side, it's kind of a blessing, because it seemed like whatever it is in everybody else's brain that's easily manipulated, mine just isn't so easy to get over on. I mean, because of the way that I see things. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I just want to reiterate that I'm not saying that I'm anyone special.
Well, I'm not either. It's just that my perception of the world, it's so different, you know, than when I was younger. You know, I just kind of like, when I was younger, I tiptoed through the tulips, so to speak. You basically went through life without a care in the world, and things were wonderful and everything. And then, you know, that one incident, it just turned my life into a completely different, it's not the same.
Well, I think every human being has the opportunity, and we all will meet challenges, and we all will be tempted. Every one of us will be tempted to, you know, either go down one pathway or another pathway. And I think it depends on what is inside of you originally, I'm going to say. I don't know how else to explain it, that can help you to make the choices through your free will that would be more along the, you know, the flow or the stream of a helper or a light worker or a one who loves creation and people, and who will choose these rather than the other pathway, you know.
Well, I don't know, but it's crazy, but the astrological sign that I fall under, because I was born in October, a Libra, the scales that's in there, I resonate with that. I mean, I feel like the scales of justice have to be balanced at all times, and I felt that way all my life, that, you know, there had to be some sort of balance in this world. Otherwise, everything would be, you know, off, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Well, I don't know if I fully have the, if I have the complete full answer. I still think it's part of the mystery where we say, what happened? How come we haven't fallen into the rabbit hole?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the question.
We've gone down the rabbit hole, but we've had something inside of us that we're able to get out of the rabbit hole and to see behind the lies, to see something else other that some people don't see. Now, we're talking about mind control, we're talking about brainwashing through generations. So when you have people that are generations and generations of mind control and brainwashing, it's not so easy to see something other than what you've been programmed to see or believe in, you know?
Well, I don't have really no explanation other than to what, you know, I perceive what's going on out here, but I just can't understand why the majority of the world, because in my mind at least, everything seems like common sense. I mean, you know, with the alternative energy deal, I studied enough science in my life to understand how things work, and my mind works mechanically, and I'm sitting here trying to tell the world about it, where they're sitting there shouting about how global warming and climate change and all that kind of stuff is tearing up the world and pollution and all that. And I'm saying, well, you know, look, here's the solution to it. And it's like shouting at the TV when you see somebody, a bad guy, sneaking up on somebody. Look behind you, you know, and they're not, they either can't hear you or they're just not paying attention. You know, and that for me personally can be frustrating, because I know we can fix this world. I know we have the power of the spoken word, the power of our actions, the power of love, and the power, you know, to do so much. And to see the world in the state of affairs, and to listen to the way that mainstream media portrays everything, and know all the agendas behind the scenes, and you're wanting to try to, you know, tell people, look, this is what's going on for real, you know. If it's not the truth, then show me some evidence to convince me that it's not the truth, so that I can tell the truth when I speak. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
There is,
well,
hope
I feel there's. I feel this is what we talk about. You, you have ways. You've created ways, and you have this gift. You know, and I think that Patty and myself and others also have been given a gift to see alternatives, to see solutions, to draw upon these solutions, and to see the issues, to see the problems, you know. So I think that, as I said, I feel the issue is the severe brainwashing of generations, where it's passed down through generations of mind control. You know, you start when you're a little child, you know, and you start getting indoctrinated into the system that has the full agenda to eliminate your awakefulness, your awareness, your conscious connection.
Stephen Gibbons in the chat room said something kind of funny there. It's basically like a treatment there. He said, a pipe to the back of the head, ? I wonder if we could get that on the NHS or get health care insurance to pay for that. He said, I could administer the treatment. I say we start at the top with Trump and maybe work our way down. If it worked for me, maybe.
Maybe it was that pipe to the back of the head that woke you up.
knock some sense into me or something.
Set you on the right path.
It could very well have been. It may just have been.
We
know,
call that a 2x4.
Yeah.
I call that getting hit with a 2x4, because, you know, it's sort of like you're on this journey around the great medicine wheel of life. And the way I look at it is that everybody's on the medicine wheel of life at different parts and times in their lifetime, but there's a point on that wheel where you must meet up with someone or do something or take part in a specific situation where it's going to be a key piece that will shift things for the better, for the good of the whole, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you're not on that pathway, or if you're delaying your wake-up call, or if you're ignoring the wake-up call, if you're ignoring the guidance, if you're just going around life, la-la-la, la-la-la, everything's good, la-la-la, well, Spirit's going to hit you with a 2x4 to get you on that path, because it's time to wake up. Wake up.
Well, I have to say that if that incident hadn't occurred, then my life would have went down a completely different path. It's hard to say where I'd be right
well,
now.
Well, and there you go. That's why, you know, that's why the 2x4s are really Spirit's way of getting you on the right path and changing your life for the good of the whole. The same thing happened to me. You know, I was living a life of la-la-la. Everything's fine, and Spirit said to me, we want you to start to gather women into circles and talk about the coming times. And I was like, what? I'm not doing that. I don't even know what you're talking about. And I denied it for 2 years. I wasn't going to do that. I was happy the way I was. I didn't know what they were asking me. I had no idea, no clue. I said, I know nothing. Why are you asking me? And then after 2 years, I got this very powerful message that said to me, you're going to be diagnosed with breast cancer. And so, and I was. In that following month, I found a lump in my left breast. And I went into a spin, of course. And I started kind of like changing my life. I started changing my eating habits. I started meditating, praying more. And I started saying no to people. No, I can't do that. Sorry. Nope, nope, I can't do that. You know, I started taking care of myself. And then I was given a vision to go to the mountains, which we call like a medicine story, where you go, your spirit guides you to do something that will change your life or heal you or help you. And I was guided to search for a specific stone, which I found in the mountains. I was guided to this specific stone and then go into a ceremony, sort of like a healing ritual, something very ancient, by the way, I found out. And the cancer was healed. And so at that moment, I could have said, oh, thank you very much for the healing, and I'm going back to my la-la life. Or say, okay, you've been asking me for 2 years to gather women into circle to bring information that will be crucial for the coming times. I'm going to agree to do that, even though I'm scared. I don't know what the heck I'm going to talk about, and I don't know why. And they said, we will help you. And this is about the return of the sacred feminine and the coming times where women will be, and men together, sacred feminine, masculine, will be needed to come together to help stabilize and heal the circumstances here in the future. And we are there now. And so that's led me to where I am here talking to you and Patty. Okay, I never would have met you. I never would have been on these radio shows unless these things, you know, they happened to me. And I call that the medicine story or the 2x4. That was a 2x4 wake-up call. That's how that works. But it's in our hands. I could have chosen, like I said, we're in that moment where we have a choice. You could say, no, thanks, I'm not doing what you're asking me, Spirit, God, or I will do it.
Well,
and that's where we always come to, you know.
As disturbing as some of these conversations that we may have to have out here, I've been feel like there's something pushing me inside to just keep on going forward no matter what, because, you know, I keep saying about this world, you know, this is a beautiful world, and if we got everything we need to resolve all the problems in the world. And if we're not talking about it, if we're not trying to steer humanity's path in another direction and nobody's talking about it, then the other side, I guess, just gets the win. You see what I mean? And I'm not willing to go that route. I got to do something. I got to say something. Even if it's just, you know, the power of my words going out there and inspiring somebody to make their life a little bit better. That's what it's all about. You know, you bring all these people to the table. You know, the Knights of the Round Table is more than just an idea. It's bringing people to the table. And these people that come here and they share information with each other and their stories, and it gives people, you know, an option as opposed to, you know, just a straight up following the status quo, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
yeah, I think that these shows are very significant and very important, you know, and we talked about, I don't know, a couple of times about how we feel like we're preaching to the choir, or that we're talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
I have to come to the conclusion that, as we spoke about in another show, if we touch one person, we have made a difference.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it's all about, because then that person follows through and takes the guidance, information, or insight to another. And that's that ripple effect.
Well, the most I think that any of us can do is speak the truth. You know, it's not up to us to open the mind of the person. It's up to us to give them the information that they need to be able to open, you know, give them the keys, and then we've done what we needed to do. The hardest thing that I found to be able to do is to convince someone that what they have known their whole lives is not true, and that the truth is not as pretty or as bright and sunny as they once thought it should be. The truth today is ugly. The truth today is scary. The truth today is fearful for many. But what the truth truly is simply knowledge. And knowledge is power. And power of one's own, you know, having the keys to your own life through this knowledge is a power that is stronger than all this subterfuge, all this the lies and the propaganda. If we can just get them to turn that key, to open that door, because I've seen it before, one crack, you open that door one crack and you can't stop. You cannot go backwards. You cannot turn around and walk the other way. You may not act upon it, but you will have that knowledge, and that knowledge will be with you. And in every step that you take, whether you go along with the propaganda or whether you go in a new way of discovery, you are aware of the truth from that point on, you know? And I think that's what we need to do. I think that's why we're here. I think that's why we cannot stop doing what we do, even though we feel that sometimes we're talking to the brick wall, yeah, that sometimes we're not getting out there. But as long as we're willing to stand up for the truth, as long as we're willing to put ourselves out there to be ridiculed, to be slandered, to be beaten up and all of these things, but still willing to stand in truth, that, I think, is the power. That is where the power truly comes from.
Well, I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, there's a reason why we're still around, because we ain't been, like, really well accepted in the world out there, so to speak, because we're still hearing the labels come down for people just like us that are trying to show people what's going on in the world. We're just tinfoil hat wearing nutcases. But if there's a man out there named Raymond Rife who built a machine that would actually safely cure cancer, and the mainstream doctors ain't having no part of it, and the governments of the world don't want no part of it or whatever, or they're trying to block the information out, I get upset. I'm frustrated, because I've seen people, I've lost people to cancer, I've seen what that goes through chemotherapy, and if there's any medicine out there in the world and it has the potential of helping somebody out, and it's being hidden under the table or behind the curtain, so to speak, it ain't right. And so those scales of justice I talk about are so far off balance that I'm out here trying to balance them out by saying, look, folks, look, I even told my cousin, he had diabetes, and there were some documentaries out there where talked about hemp seed oil would cure diabetes, at the very least regulate the blood sugar to a more normal level and basically heal you at some point in the deal. And I said, you know, at this stage in the game, you're having to take these shots, and I'm not telling you not to take your shots or anything like that, but at least look into the information and see whether you find it to be plausible enough that you'd want to try it out for yourself. I tried it out on myself. I didn't just tell everybody to go out there and try this particular product. But I went out and bought me some the cold-pressed hemp seed oil that they were talking about. And I was having symptoms that could have been anything from colon cancer to, other problems that, caused me to have to get up every hour on the hour all night long and go to the bathroom all the time. And so I started taking a tablespoon of this a day. And I was just trying to see, does it work? And it worked for me, you know. Now I can sleep through the whole night. You know, I can't sit here and tell anybody that this is a product for you or anything like that, because, I'm not a doctor. But all I can say is that when I heard this about this alternative medicine, I gave it a shot, and it worked for me, and could potentially work for somebody else. It may not. But maybe because I believed in the alternative medicine, maybe that was all that it needed. Kind of like what they say, the placebo effect, you know. But it did work for me. And I still to this very day use it. And so if there are medicines out there that have the potential of helping people out in an alternative to radiating somebody's body and destroying their immune system, I would think that if the mainstream media really cared about people out there, if the governments of the world really cared about it, they would be on this and they would be saying, look, we really seriously need to look into this because it seems to have the potential to cure this. You know, the only alternative is the opposite spectrum where they don't want to cure it. You see what I mean? It's either, you're either doing this intentionally, or you're just flat out stupid. Because if it's possible to cure somebody without making them sick, and literally cure them, not just mask the symptoms, there's other treatments out there that I've heard that people, you know, there's all kinds of books and informations out there about people in alternative medicines. And the Food and Drug Administration, oh no, you get yourself thrown in jail if you say the wrong thing or try to present your product as a cure because, you're not, according to them, you're not qualified to have this information. But before there were all these fancy doctors, and before there was all this big, massive corporations and drug industries, that's how people used to heal themselves. They had information that was passed down from generation to generation. If you had certain ailment, this is what you would take to cure it. And those weren't mainstream at the time. You see what I'm saying here? That's why I get frustrated. Because I don't like to see people suffer. And there ain't no reason in the year 2017 for people not to have food if they need it. Fresh water, you know. We got technology right now. They got water filtration systems that are so incredibly amazing that they could filter out even the smallest particles of stuff and give you fresh water to drink.
There is all that, and people are finding those things. And I don't know. I just think that we're talking big money, you know. Big pharma, big money, lots of money in illness, lots of money in cancer, and
don't forget war.
And that too, of course, lots of money in fear.
Yeah.
I just popped in the Rife machine product comparison here. People are making Rife machines today still, but there certainly was that Royal Rife. He was an American inventor, Royal Raymond Rice, his name was, you know, and he died in 1971, and he created that Rife machine, and of course he had a terrible time because it was an alternative, and he was called a quack and so on, but people are still working today with the, creating these machines. My friend actually has a Rife machine. You know, and it's about frequency. Again, it's certain frequencies. Well, you might find it interesting, Chazes.
I believe that. And I looked into the Rife machine, and I understand how it actually functions, because every single bit of matter out there has a resonant frequency. And if you know that specific frequency, you can literally vibrate something and destroy it with one frequency that something sitting right beside it won't even be affected. You know, the opera singer with the crystal glass, I kept using that for an example, that if you had a crystal glass and you could sit there and raise your voice up to a certain resonant frequency, and then one pitch over that will cause that glass to shatter, one pitch higher or whatever, and then right next to the same sound wave, you could have a different glass with a different frequency, and that glass ain't going to shatter. So,
right,
it's proven science, you know. And if they knew that these frequency waves had the potential to either boost your immune system or, you know, destroy bad cells or whatever like that, and still allowing people to go through radiation therapy and stuff like that, then there's only two ways you can go with that. It's either intentional or you're just, you know, flat out stupid. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I think what we're talking about, I feel very strongly, and I know about frequency, you know. I mean, I really feel this is a key piece, is our understanding that we are made up of energies and frequencies.
Yep.
All of our organs have a certain frequency. Our body vibrates at a certain frequency. Now, our mind and thoughts and emotions and words also have a frequency. Now, I think you, me, Patty, and some of others have come to conclude that this is very real. But the majority of the population, I don't know how easy it is for them, because this sounds like wackadoodle cuckoo stuff.
Sure.
And of course, that's a deliberate, you know, is to make us seem like we're nutcases. But, you know, this is actually factual. It's scientific. So, we are not cuckoos and nuts. We just see clearly that this is really factual, that this is based on truth.
The mainstream.
So if you knew yourself to be a being of frequency and energy, and how powerful you are, how thoughts change frequency, create frequency and change a positive. You know, the meditation and visualization of the Dr. Carl Symington and Stephanie Symington, two medical doctors who actually use meditation to change, let's say, work through the immune system to elevate and harmonize the immune system to eliminate cancer cells. That's the frequencies. They're talking about frequency, energy. These are facts. This is real.
I'd say the people like the Buddhists have been doing it for many, many years. And, you know,
that's right.
There's a lot of the unexplained things that these folks do that it just, you ain't going to get mainstream scientists to talk about it. You ain't going to get mainstream media to talk about it. And you have to ask the question, why? Why would they not talk about it? Well, I don't know. Let's think about this for a second. They got advertisers who sell a specific product. They don't want somebody saying, you can go to this guy over there and he can heal you with energy and stuff like that. I mean,
or you can go out in the woods and sit with a tree and
yeah, they don't want you to know that.
Well, you know, prayer is a frequency. I mean, you know, we pray to something or someone specific, of course, but still in all, that ultimate prayer from your heart.
Yep.
Of with the love that you have for the person you are praying for is a high frequency. And, you know, I'm just saying that even though you're praying to God or Creator or Great Spirit, your prayer, your heartfelt love for that person you are praying for is a frequency. And that can affect that person, and that those vibrational frequencies go out into, you know, into the world and function on that high frequency level. This is what the healing, that type of healing is all about.
There are a few hospitals popping up, faith-based hospitals popping up, where they still use newer traditional kind of methods or whatever, but they're also adding in as therapy or whatever, prayer type deals, faith-based kind of, you know, where you're, well, exactly what you're saying about praying over people, because there's been a lot of research about, you know, how people have been benefited by, you know, people praying over them. And while it's unexplainable in the scientific realm and the medicine realm, it's still, you can't deny it. If somebody, you got a group of individuals standing around praying over somebody, the energy that they're using to help benefit these people is actually working, and there's actual documented evidence out there that it is true. But you couldn't get the mainstream media to say that.
There is documented evidence of many situations where people's focus coming together and focusing or praying. It could either be focusing on love or light or peace or healing, a vibration. They create that within themselves as a group, as a collective consciousness. And there have been studies done where this does make a difference. And so it's the same thing when people come together to pray, you know, from their hearts and their love of a person who they want to help or heal.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. These are documented. And people, there may not be any actual answer of how this happens. I mean, scientific world is working to identify this. They're very curious about it as well. You know, and there is the string theory and the quantum physics, and there's all this stuff that they're putting things together, that everything is together, that everything is connected. And vibrational frequencies, or thought, an emotion and word, does have a frequency and is effective either positively or negatively. That's the type of power that we have.
Yeah, and there's a study out there, I'm kind of Googling it up as we talk about it, but there's talking about laughter being good medicine.
Absolutely.
And because, you know, physically, there's chemicals, the reactions that happen when you start laughing and you start feeling good or whatever, there's actual studies out there. I'm sitting here trying to Google up to see if I can get something on it, but either way. Said here it is. Try laughing more. Some researchers think laughter just might be the best medicine, helping you feel better and putting that spring back in your step. I believe that if people can get more laughter in their lives, they are a lot better off. Says Steve Wilson, MACSP, whatever that is, a psychologist and laugh therapist.
Well, they have, you know, the saying, laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah.
You know.
So. You know, you got to admit, when somebody makes you laugh, you feel a lot better, even when you're stubbed your toe or something like that. It's not really funny when you stub your toe, but if somebody gets you laughing about it, it's not as bad after a while that it was initially when you just focused on how painful it was. You know.
Well, some of the cancer treatment centers in America are saying that using integrative techniques now, that laughter therapy can ease pain and lift mood during cancer treatment, studies are showing.
I believe it. And, you know, one of the reasons why I believe that, because years ago I used to study a lot of self-defense and martial arts training and stuff, and I actually learned how to physically control pain using nothing more than your mind. You know, it's like, if you understand how the body functions, your brain sends signals. Like if you stub your toe, your little nerve endings will send a signal to your brain saying, hey, you better check this out, you know, make sure your toe ain't broke or whatever, you know. And so once you look down and recognize it's not, your toe's not hanging off or you're not in life-threatening danger, you can put it in your mind to literally ignore that pain. And
well, here's a story about firewalking. Have you ever heard about firewalking?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I went to a workshop on firewalking years and years ago, where people were actually going to, this teacher was going to lead people to walk the fire, over the fire coals, right? I mean, this was very real. It wasn't some little tiny puddle of coals. This was a long path. They had the fire going for a very long time, so it built up a lot of hot coals, and they spread the coals out so that you'd have to walk at least 10 paces across from beginning to end in your bare feet. You know, and all the while in this talk, this man was saying, it's really important that you, as you take that first step, say, cool moss, cool moss, cool moss. because your mind will think it's walking on your, that you are walking on cool moss. And this was a very key piece. And he took that group of people. I wasn't ready to go over a bunch of hot coals myself. I went there to find out what is this, you know, and so on. And I asked myself inside, should I be doing this? Is this something I need to do? And I got, no. Okay, so I'm just observing. They're observing. And I'm watching these people stride across 10 paces across, I mean, really hot, hot coals. And nobody was bothered. And I was watching a friend of mine go across just about 3 paces as just before he got done through the 10 paces on the, he was just almost finished. I saw him like get affected by the hot coals. He jumped, he went, ah, you know, like that, and he's hopping all over the place. And I asked him what happened. And he said, I was doing fine with the cool moss until I sort of got to the end. And I looked down, I saw all these coals and my feet on these coals, and I said, oh my God, what am I doing? And in that moment, I got burned.
See?
That's right.
That placebo effect that they always talk about in science, where they'll give 2 patients a sugar pill, and, you know, neither one of them's got real medicine. The one who believes that that medicine is helping them, it usually the one ends up benefiting from that deal, but neither one of them got real medicine. They've done tons of experiments like that, and they've actually had certain instances where they had people that they really did give real medicine, but the other one got a sugar pill, and the one with the sugar pill believed that they were healed, and they were literally healed. So those are unexplained incidents in life, and I'm sitting here, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking about all these people out there that we would, you know, some people would say they're not awake, you know. They believe the world is in such a bad state that there's nothing they can do about it. And so with that belief comes self-medication and all the other actions where, you know, hey, you know, if I seen it on TV, it must be real kind of thing. And does that sound plausible to you? Did I lose you guys? I think I lost them.
I'm still here, but I don't know for how long. I've already got...
Does that sound plausible to you?
Yeah. You know, I was just looking through here, Rick Simpson's cure, this cannabis oil. We've got the recipe for it. And I'm going to send this. I had it in my documentations because I had Rick on my show several times when he first started coming out with this when he was in Canada, and the reception that he got from people, including city councilmen and people like this on the use of his oil was astounding, the support that he got. And it was because it worked. It was because he had the proof to the pudding. He could show the cause and effect and the cure that came from what he was creating here. So I think that is one of the most important things that we have that we can give to people as far as being anything medicinal that they can put into their life. I know that I've talked to people across the country here in the U.S. who know about Rick Simpson's work and are getting these different companies that are producing this oil. And I tell them all the time, this is nothing that you need to buy. This is nothing that you need to go out and order offline. This is something that you need to employ in your life. Rick Simpson wanted people to take this formula, to produce it themselves, and to share it with everyone around them. And what do we have going on right now? We have people that are buying it from companies online that are making profits off of this, right?
Yeah.
Rick Simpson gave this for free, and he did it for that. They cannot take it away. That once it is released to the public and the public has the knowledge, then they can come and take it away from the people. And we know they do this. They find somebody, anybody who creates a cure, anybody who creates a system that is independent. I can't share a file from my PC. Okay. All right, I'll do that. That was from my own file. I got it. Okay. Anyway, but what we need to do is simply follow Rick's lead when he said, if you've got the information, if you have the answer, if you have the solution, your last thing, if you're really concerned about people, if you're really concerned about health, if you're really concerned about the environment, if you're really concerned about the health of the world, then you don't go in it for the profit. Because if you turn it into a profit-making scenario, then you have discounted the people who need it most.
Yeah, the ones that can't afford it, too.
Right. So what we need to do is we need to have people that are willing to come and to say, I'm putting this information out there, because the more we put it out there, the weaker the control gets. Their power is being able to sequester all this knowledge.
And I think that's one of the reasons why they want control of the internet so badly, because at first it was a great resource for them to be able to, you know, categorize us, document us, and basically keep tabs on what we're buying so that they could sell us stuff. But now that people have the option to be able to share information like what you just shared with them, you know, that's worrisome to the system, because now, you know, you're going to start cutting into their wallet if people don't have to go to the drug industries, or even me when I talk about alternative energy and I'm sitting here sharing all this information freely with people. The power companies ain't going to like that. The oil industries ain't going to like that. Probably even the government won't like that, because, you know, there's taxes involved. Taxes on drugs, taxes on everything. And so you send free energy out to the world and they're going to not get paid. Well, that's motivation. That's the who has to benefit thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the thing of it is that when you look at the demographics of this, when we come out with systems of free energy like you douches is, when Rick Simpson comes out with the ability to produce a cure in your own home, when we do this, what we do when we put a profit margin on it, when we say, well, I'm going to bottle it and sell it, is we make sure that the people who are least able to afford are the ones who will be suffering. And the ones who are more than able to afford will be the ones that are utilizing this. But if we tell these people all the time, like I tell them, my friend, Opal, who's going through this, I told her, I said, she went and bought the cannabis oil online, and it comes in a little dropper thing, and she pays money for it, and then she buys it again, and she buys it again. And I told her, you don't need to buy this. You don't have the money to do this. You know, you have to decide what you're going to get and what you're not going to get. You don't have to do that. You can make this yourself.
Yep.
This is what's important. The free energy systems that you develop, these are made in your garage, as is. These aren't bought from some corporation that's putting these things together in a factory, you yep. know.
All the research that I have done in alternative energy, I deliberately focused on existing things out there that could be repurposed and would be easily readily available for the average Joe. A lot of the stuff that I show them, you could build out of things that you got out of the junk heap or the recycle bins or whatever. And so that's the reason why I did it that way, to make it out of junk, because if I can make it out of junk, then the average Joe out there could scrounge up the parts to do it as well.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And that's what we need to do. We need to reach the people. You know, I used to say it all the time, if you're in it for the money, then you're not in it to help the world. You know, and people, they get mad about that because, my gosh, I got to pay my bills. You know, we all got to pay the bills.
Well, people keep getting mad at me because I don't want to take their money.
Yeah, well, it's like, what good is it that you can pay your bills while the rest of the world dies?
Yeah.
And you tell me that you want to change the world, that you want to help, and you have the knowledge, but you put a price on it. So you've already committed yourself to sequestering the information, because only those who have money can afford it. When you're asking someone to do without groceries or to do without whatever they need in order to be able to purchase this from you, you're not helping them.
No. Nope.
This is a detriment. And some of these people, you know, I've gone myself because I don't have an income, right? So I see these things and it says, oh, now you can produce your own electricity, da-da-da-da-da. We'll show you how, and you go there, and they say first thing they want is $49.95.
Yeah.
And we'll send you a book.
And you got to watch some big spiel before they ever get down to the final. It's nuts.
Right. You wanted to help me. Why didn't you put the information out there?
Yeah.
You know? Why can't you just put the information? Show me the plan. Show me what I need to purchase. Tell me how to put it together. Why do I have to buy it? You know?
Yeah.
That's defeating the purpose of me saying I don't have the wherewithal to do this. You have the knowledge. I don't have the knowledge. And if I had your knowledge, I could do this. But because I don't have money, I'm not privy.
Well, see, people get mad at me because I don't take their money to do research and stuff like that. And they don't understand why it is that I'm doing things the way that I'm doing them. But if I'm to show people how to do free energy, I'm trying to show them and explain to them in simplest terms so that they can understand what's actually occurring in these devices so that they could replicate them themselves. So, you know, best case scenario, we all got together as a group and we went to machine shops and had these things actually built, and we could do that, you know, if it was a together kind of thing. But I don't want somebody sending me their money and putting all their hopes into me that I'm going to put this magical device out for them when I'm just sitting here, I'm trying to show them, this is how electricity works. This is what you can use to get this particular reaction. And I'm finding things off the store shelves. Like the other day, and I'm going to have to do a video about it, I figured out that you can actually take two microwave microwave oven transformers, and you can put them butt to butt, so to speak, the bottom plates together. And if they're two identical ones, you can actually bolt them right together, and you can pulse one, and it'll energize the other as well. So that magnetic flux is actually traveling through both of these, so it's like two for one kind of deal. So I actually need to do a video on this. I got to find two identical transformers. But those are things that, you know, people, when their microwave breaks down, they throw them away, and there's a lot of good parts inside there. And so, you know, even if you're in a poor community, you can find old dumps where people threw away electronics and old washing machines and stuff like that, and it's within your grasp to, you know, be able to get the parts necessary. And if I can explain it to you in easy enough terms where you can understand how this energy actually travels, then worst case scenario, at least you can keep some sort of lights on or a fan going or something like that. You see what I mean?
Yeah, exactly what you mean. And that's why I've always supported you. She says, be real with what you do. You're not in it for any other reason than to help people. And that's That's what we need. If everybody contributed to the whole simply because they could and shared knowledge freely with each other, imagine where we would be at this time instead of where we're at.
Yep.
You know?
And that's another reason for putting the round table together. That was another reason for putting the mad science table together, to get people just like us to come to the table and help each other work on solutions, at the very least share information that, you know, they can research on their other side. So, you know, all this guff that we always end up getting from people, you know, naysayers or trolls or whatever, and even interference with our Skypes and in our radio broadcast and such, you know, those folks out there, they're not trying to solve anything. They're trying to discourage us from sharing this information with each other. That's the whole divide and conquer that you see in every protest out there. All this craziness that goes on out there in the world, there's somebody behind the scenes sending people in there to tell you why it is something's not possible. And then when your average Joe believes that it's not possible, guess what? It's not possible. Just like Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. It's that simple. You know, same thing with in medicine. If you don't believe it's possible, then you're not going to try it. And if you don't believe it'll work, you know, even if you do try it, it's not going to work. The power of the mind is so much more than people imagine.
The studies have shown, for instance, with cancer patients, that those who have the will to live, often high percentages of those people go into remission and actually do continue life.
Yeah.
It's the will within us to do whatever or believe in whatever that will make a difference, you know. I kind of feel that when I hear you talking about people charging for their, I call these gifts, you know, you have been born with a gift, you know, Shazaz, the gift that brought you to do what you're doing, offering these, you know, these ways to help people. That's a gift from Creator. I feel that everyone has been given a gift, and some people get sidetracked and think, well, I'm going to make money on my gift, but that's not the way Creator or God, initially created that gift within you. These gifts are to share, to fulfill, not only to fulfill a person, an individual, but to help others.
I believe
that
too.
And that, I think, is what we're supposed to be doing, not making money off of these gifts.
I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, I don't call it free energy for nothing. I'm not asking people, hey, buy my plans. No, I'm putting it right there on the table. You know, every single idea that I put out there, you can try it, you know. The diagrams are there, and if you got any questions, you can come here in the chat room and we'll talk about it. Or jump on Skype, we'll work through whatever you need to do. But I'm not asking you to donate any money, and I'm not asking you to buy anything from me. I'm just telling you, I'm sharing information that I feel like I've been blessed with, and I'm, you know, I'll tell everybody, I got a mechanical mind. I see this world mechanically, like gears and cogs in a machine, and that's how I try to explain it to people in a simple fashion so that they can understand, because once you understand that, like Patty said earlier, knowledge is power. If you understand that you can do something and you follow through with it, then you get things done. You know, there is no reason, in my eyes, there's nobody in this world who can convince me why it is that here in the year 2017 that people in this world should have to be doing without anything. I don't believe the world's overpopulated. I don't believe 90% of all the mainstream scientists, fear-mongering propaganda or whatever. I don't see why it is that anybody should be starving to death, or why anybody should be homeless unless they choose to just wander the land. I don't see why anybody should be doing without medicine or anything. And if there are alternatives out there, which I know there is, I've self-medicated myself with hemp seed oil just to test to see if what they said was true. And for me, it was true. It worked. It honestly worked. And if what they say for all the other diseases out there is possible, then you should at least look into them. There was a book that I keep talking about. Her name was Dr. Lorraine Day, I believe. And she wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen. And in this book, she breaks down the chemistry of your body, what causes certain things to occur in your body. It's like, you know, if you've got a glass of water and you put some sugar in there, now the water becomes sweet. The more sugar you put in there, the sweeter it becomes, and the more of that you drink, that water and yet sugar enters your body, and it's going to have an effect. You'll have like a, you know, a sugar high there for a while, and then after a certain point, you'll actually get sick. Have you ever ate too many marshmallows? Marshmallows are tasty, but if you eat too many of them, they'll make you sick.
Well, speaking of sugar, if you really want to find out about sugar and how it functions in the body, how detrimental it is, read a book called Sugar Blues. And that will give you a lot of insight into what the sugar industry has done to us and our children. Because sugar is in everything. Even things that you wouldn't even imagine. There should be sugar in. There is sugar. But what it does to the body, how it affects us, you know, like you talked about, you get a high, but then it drops you into a low where you crave more, your body craves more sugar. Yep. There's that mad cycle. So that becomes an addiction. But it's very amazing and disturbing about how sugar functions, you know, with the kidneys, the liver, all the internal organs and what it really does to us and the money behind the sugar industry, too.
Oh, sure. And, you know, our Creator did something amazing when making us, you know. Our body will literally tell us when we're lacking in something. If you are sodium deficient, you'll start to crave salt. And if you get to the point where you, like, let's say you eat salty potato chips every single day. You just eat bag after bag of these things, and your body gets used to that level of chemistry. And suddenly you don't have that those bags of potato chips, and you have this sick craving feeling going on. That's your body out of whack because you've done trained your body to believe that it needed that. And just like going on these diets, the boomerang diet that they talk about, you starve yourself, and then your body starts to store extra stuff because it don't know when the next time it's going to get food. Your body's sitting there telling you what's wrong. You see what I mean? And people, their weight will double after a diet when their diet fails because they, you know, it's too much work or they get hungry or whatever, and they'll start eating, and next thing you know, you got fat that's already stored, and now you're doubling up on a deal. And when she wrote that book, Diseases Don't Just Happen, if you read that book, you'll have an understanding of the body like you never did before, because now you understand your body's essentially a chemistry set. I mean, science shows that. You got a lot of water in your body, and if you're dehydrated, there's things that the water, the purpose for the water in your body. There are things like caffeine that are dehydrating you, you know, it's taking water out, that kind of stuff. Or you ever notice how when you drink a soda, you end up being more thirsty, and you could probably drink a 12-pack of soda before it's all over with? That's because it's doing the reverse. It's not quenching your thirst like it should, like water would. See what I mean?
I'm going to have to depart from you all.
Oh, yeah, we're over our time anyway. You got any last words of wisdom?
Well, I just want to thank you guys for your wisdom today and thank everybody, the listeners, and you know, when we do these shows, I always feel a lot of joy moving in because we are offering something really good and from our hearts, you know, and the fact that we love the Mother Earth and creation and people, and I just feel this joy always moving in over me, you know, and I just want to say that. So I just am grateful to be here with you and Patty and all the listeners, and yeah, I have a great hope and faith in the solutions are very real, and the goodness in of course, you know, your heart, Shaziz, and the gift you've been given and how you're sharing that. And, you know, and I think that's a key piece, you know, number one, and I want to thank you for that. And, of course, I want to thank, you know, Patty, my sister, I absolutely love, and I'm so grateful to be here and have come on this, I say, the medicine wheel and found you guys. The journey, here I am with you. So
well,
thank you so
I'm
much.
I'm so glad to have you on this journey. I am thankful. What about you, Patty? Yes.
I feel the same way. I mean, Barb has been such an inspiration to me, just like you, she is. We're all kind of stumbling through this, you know. This wasn't our chosen thing to do, to stand up and tell truth when nobody wants to hear it, to seek out the things that people are hiding, to look for alternatives to our own reality. I mean, it's not anything that we grew up thinking, you know, oh, that's what I'm going to do when I grow up. But here we are. And I'm surrounded by such awesomely wonderful, beautiful people. I want to give a shout out also, Shaziz, to Stephen in the chat, who is always there. This guy, I don't know, he is one of the best. You know, Zeitz was really good at when you said something on the air, he went and found that link and he had it up there, but Stephen goes above and beyond. I gotta say thanks. He really rocks.
Oh, I agree.
And Shaziz, your show rocks. Thanks. Love you guys.
Stephen Gibbons is amazing. So are both of you, and I appreciate you being on the Knights of the Round Table once again. I mean, folks, if you're listening out there, we got folks, wonderful people that come on these shows. We got wonderful people in the chat room. I mean, amazing people. Stephen's working on a resource page for the website that he's posting links that have been posted into the chat. And links that he's gathered up, he's really doing a lot of work going above and beyond. And this is the kind of thing that is what makes Shaziz Radio what it is. And the only thing that we ask for any of you listening out there is not to send your money to us or try to, you know, sell you anything, is that you take this information and you pass it on to somebody else out there that, you know, needs some information. That's what it's all about. And when you got something to share and you want a place to share it, this is the place to do it. Share this on your social media networks. Tell people what we're trying to do here and why we're trying to do it. And hopefully we'll get them here and we can all work together to make this world a better place. That's the whole picture. That's the big dream. And you, the individual out there listening to this show right now, are the missing piece of the puzzle. Without you, the picture can't never be complete. We got to find a way to make that picture big enough and complete enough so that the whole world can understand where we literally stand. So, with that said, peace and love to everybody, and thank you for tuning in. Share this...
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
the Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to bookwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and scram a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hey, hey, King Shaziz the Terrible. King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.